Blog Talk Radio. Exposed.
Oh.
Mike Cube.
Presents What's in the Name Part 2, Saturday, November 10th in New York City. Grand prize, $1,000 for Old Way. Make us believe you're back in the 80s. Grand prize number 2, open to all legendary runway for $1,000. Other cash categories include mini grand prize, open to all streetwear for $300, as well as open to all runway. The casting call for $500, sponsored by the Mocha Center. That Saturday, November 10th, in New York City. Admission, $30 all night. Tables, $150. The location, The Light Box. 841 Barreto Street, Bronx, New York. For more information, contact Father James Icon or Father Rodney Prodigy via Facebook or visit the event page for more info. House of Valentino presents The Awakening Ball, Saturday, November 3rd in Pittsburgh, PA. Are you ready? Your grand prizes include Butch Queen Runway, The Trickster for $1,000. Team Performance, The Assassins for $1,000. As well as Legendary Femme Queen Performance, The Queen of the Throne for $1,000. Many grands include Butch Queen Vogue Femme, The Battle Cat, as well as Realness with a Twist, The Double Take. Over $7,500 in cash and trophies presented by the House of Valentino. The Awakening Ball, Saturday, November 3rd, at the Hazelwood YMCA. The address, 4213 Chatsworth Street in Pittsburgh. Admission, $30 all night. Tables, $150 in advance, $200 at the door. Your commentators include the icon Jack Mizrahi, icon Selvin Khan, legendary Kevin J.P. Prodigy, and Jukebox Valentina. The House of Valentino presents The Awakening Ball, November 3rd in Pittsburgh, PA. For more information, visit Facebook and the event page for up-to-date info on the event. Over $7,500 in cash and trophies. Get ready, girls.
October 27th, 2012. The CEO and founder, Mother Jasmine Couture, brings to you a new collection. A collection of horror. A collection of mystery and suspense. Come bear witness in the nation's capital, Washington, D.C., as Mother Jasmine Couture brings to you the scariest night in ballroom history, Gagoween. Grand prize, open to all legendary performance for $6,000. The mystery, 666. That's 16 captains, 6 teams, and a mystery femme queen per team, Gagoween. Other cash categories include Butch Queen Runway, The Walking Dead, Open to All Foot and Eye, Designers from Beyond the Grave, Team Realness, Children of the Corn, Butch Queen Sex Siren, The Candyman. That's right, and in a special category that I'm calling The Grudge. Six of today's hottest divas are invited to settle their score at Gagoween. Three grudge matches, $1,000 each, with the grand prize thickening throughout the event. Mother Temptress, the overall mother Dee Dee Chanel, says she wants a rematch at a big ball. Mother Kelly, the icon Mother Shay Shay Chanel, says it was only a Wednesday night mini ball. Get over it and bring it to Gagoween. And legendary Mother Sasha Garcon and the icon Mother Sanaya Ebony, which one of you are the true ladies of Sex Siren? That's right, three grudge matches. Three divas will win $1,000 each. But how much more will be raised at Gagoween? Find out October 27th in Washington, D.C. For more information, contact Jasmine Couture directly or subscribe to Jasmine Couture's Facebook page for up-to-date info on the event. Over $10,000 in grand prizes, history will be made once again. Gagoween.
He created the very first ballroom radio show, watched the most innovative ball DVDs, originated Sneaker vs. Sneaker, walked and served executive realness, and remains a member of the House of Acquah Sweetie. He's the most loved or hated ballroom personality, and he's broadcasting live ATL. Grab your nuts and squeeze your meat for the media mogul himself, Tom Motherfucking Blumenthal.
Nice. right, don't try to adjust your radio. Don't try to change the internet. Because the one and the only, the creator, the father of Blog Talk Radio, is back in the hot seat, back behind the microphone, and back hosting your favorite legendary ballroom radio show. Tom Blumenthal LaCroix is in the building. And I want to welcome each of you to our very first night back on the air. As some of you probably know by now, Mother Kelly, Ms. Rahi, stepped down from the radio program. She needed some time to rest and recuperate. Things got a little too hot for Kelly, and so she decided to take a break and recoup and get her family life together, try to get her relationship and her marriage back on track. And so I have stepped in to reclaim my throne. You guys might recall that it was me, Serve the Kids Radio, that kicked this thing off several years ago, and we brought you the very first ballroom radio show, and I'm back to let you bitches know how it's supposed to be done. Now, at this time, I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome my sidekick, my ace, who was with me from the beginning, and she's still by my side holding me down. Please, can I get my music switchboard for the legendary Rhonda Jenkins? Let me have that. Please, hit me.
She's known by a simple catchphrase, child police. And it's quick to give a bitch a stiff look. She travels state to state and the girls around the globe will clock her ID. It's time to bring on the infamous, original, piece of herself. The legend, Miss Rhonda Jenkins.
Rhonda.
Yes, Tom.
Yes. We are back in the building.
Yes, God, Tom. It's been a long time, Tom. How are you?
I'm well. I'm resting in bed as we speak. And Rhonda, how's it feel to be back on the air after all these years?
Well, Tom, I'll tell you, honey. I put the wig down and these bumps off and I painted after we left, Tom. But it feels good to be back.
It does feel good to be back. And I just want to quickly remind, a lot of folks are probably wondering who we are. I know I've been off the scene for quite a while and people don't know who I am. And over the course of the show tonight, I will remind you folks who have forgotten, and some of you guys probably remember but don't want to remember, but I'll remind each of you who I am and what I did in the ballroom scene and why I am the legend that I am and how I came to bring about this ballroom radio phenomenon. But first, before we get into all that, Rhonda, we do have some other people that are still on the show even after Kelly's departure. I want to take this time, switchboard, to introduce the legendary icon himself. You know who he is. Give us his music, please, switchboard.
Now presenting the overall father of the House of Prodigy, Father Cocktail himself, Rodney Prodigy.
Yes, Rodney, I'm living for that intro. What's up?
What's going on? What's going on, Tom? What's going on, Rhonda?
Hey, Rodney.
How's you guys doing tonight?
Wonderful.
Thank you.
Okay, y'all have a delay or something going on?
No, just kind of, you know, working a lot of different things over here, multitasking. Rodney, how's it feel to be back on the air with the one and only Tom Blumenthal and Rhonda Jenkins?
It feels good to be on the air. It feels good to be on the air. You guys are very controversial, but intelligent and keep me laughing and a mixture. So it's good. It actually is fun. Like, I used to make special appearances on your show, and now we're here together.
Here together, yeah. And without, oh, go right ahead, Rhonda. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, Tom. Hey, Rodney, how did you enjoy your time in Atlanta? I saw you looking dashing as well, as always.
I was good. A little hot, but I made the most of it. Enjoyed the scene.
A little hot.
Yeah, a little hot, but I enjoyed just being out, watching the people perform and, you know, on the runway and the houses compete against each other and win the money.
You know, here in Atlanta, summer lasts right up until some years it goes right up into November. It stays hot here in Atlanta.
No. The hot was in the building, not outside.
Madam Switchboard, without further delay or ado, let's bring on the other co-host here on the show. You guys know who she is. Let's get her music, Switchboard.
And where is the body?
Mother, we need you.
Oh, yeah.
Last season was all about Vogue. This season is for the...
And where is the body?
Sell it to me.
Move over, mother.
Give it to me.
Cause I'm going faster.
My ass is my ass. And my thighs support my head. Mother Bridge is in the building.
That's right. I just can't help it.
Let's go.
My fault. I was born.
Where? The body.
Hi,
hello.
Good evening.
Hello, London.
Hello, Rodney. Hello, Tom. Hello, Rhonda. This is like a new aura, a new atmosphere.
Yeah.
London, yeah. We'll make it work for us. We'll make it work for us.
Yeah, it'll work. We have to make it work. Make it till you make it.
It's for the people. It's for the people. Now, Rodney, yeah. I understand that you have a very special guest with you tonight. Is he ready to come on? Do you have him with you?
Yeah, he actually, I mean, the time is, you know, he's a very early riser, so I'm not going to, it's going to be cut short a little bit because he definitely has to go to bed.
Okay.
But the Switchboard does have him in queue to bring him on.
Now, before Switchboard brings him on, I want to let everybody know that Rodney has, as his very special exclusive guest tonight, the legendary fashion ruler, best dress, foot and eyewear. What else is he known for, Rodney? Body, back in the day.
Executive realness.
Executive realness. He's done it all, you name it. And we're talking about the one and the only, Kadan Milan. Now, before we bring Kadan on, let's just let everybody know, Kadan is coming on tonight to address the allegations that
Not coming on to, no, that's incorrect, Tom. Kadan is coming on as my special guest just to talk about a lot of different things, the House of Milan as a whole, his role in the ballroom scene, things of that nature.
Now, we know all that. Is he going to tell us if the shoe is real before we go into all that stuff?
Right.
Bring him on.
Let's bring him on before we get into any further delays or hesitation. Switchboard, bring on the legendary Kadan Milan to talk to Rodney Milan. I'm sorry. I keep saying Rodney Milan. Rodney, please accept my apology. Rodney Prodigy. I've been off the scene too long, damn it.
And can we start the new season off with any guests we have? Can we give them a round of applause when they enter the building?
Absolutely. Switchboard, can we get some applause for Kadan? All right, Kadan, welcome. How are you tonight?
I'm doing good. You see, the man that started before you even got on the phone, brother. I
Okay, Rodney, I know he's your guest. So I'm going to just sit back for a moment and let you and him dialogue, and if I feel like I need to interject and ask a question or two, I will. So you got it.
All right. Well, Kadan, thank you for coming on the show. I know it's kind of late. I know you're definitely an early riser, so we're not going to keep you long. I just want to, you know, let the people, for the people, because you're very like a silent assassin. You come out, you do your thing. You walk the balls, you travel, you win. Could you tell the people a little bit about yourself and your ballroom history?
Why should I tell them my ballroom history? Do y'all know that?
I mean, you know some people that? Might like, what's going on? You know, he's coming
okay,
out.
I came to the ballroom scene. First house I was in was Cartier. I left the house of Cartier, and the next house I went to was the House of Milan. Body, executive realness, started walking those Scotto ball, then the Dwight, then the Ebony Milan ball, and then from there, that's where it started. So
now I have to tell you, Rodney, already I'm slightly bored because the folks want to know, the people want to know the real tea here.
Are you ready for Tom Kadan?
I can sleep and be ready for Tom. Go ahead, Tom.
Okay. Listen, Kadan, let me put this out right now. I want to put this disclaimer out because First of all, I was not at the ball that you walked with this shoe that's in question.
Shoe, yeah.
So the nasty shoe that you want to know about? Okay, yeah.
I did not see the shoe.
The controversial shoe.
Controversial shoe, right. I didn't see the shoe. So I don't know what the big controversy is other than the allegation that the shoe isn't real. That's all. So let me just be clear. I'm not taking a side. I don't have a dog in the fight. I want to make sure that's clear because I don't want people to attack me and say I'm coming after Kadan. That's not true. But, Kadan, the allegation has been made that this shoe is a hoax. Now, can you address it directly? Is the shoe a hoax?
I've already addressed it, the shoe. I don't wear fake anything, so the shoe is a YSL, and the judges wanted to see it. You know, I tried to give them an opportunity. All they do is ask me to take it off, and I pulled it off for them to see it on the inside and the back. I mean, I have nothing to hide at all.
Do you still have the shoe in your possession at this time?
Yeah, I do. Why wouldn't I? My clothes are in possession. I don't borrow and wear other folks' stuff.
Well, I wasn't suggesting that, but you know how some people...
Oh, but I'll clean it up. I'll clean the other tones up. Something
okay,
you know,
got
you. Be clear. Gotcha, okay.
Yeah, because you want to cover all the bases here. Now, here's the big thing that a lot of folks are saying. You know, Milan made these allegations against you, and some folks are asking, just like with Mitt Romney and his tax returns, why won't you just release whatever proof you might have, a receipt or something, to show that,
but
or
why,
do you feel like you even need to do
I'm
that?
I'm a little confused. This is where I think the ballroom scene is a little distorted. There are 7 to 9 people that the commentator, that someone, a promoter gets, and they actually are called judges. And if your judges are doing their job, they get up and they ask to see something and you take it off. If Milan or anyone else had an issue with that, they would have asked at that time. Because you asked after the fact, it's kind of like you are a sore loser of some kind. If there was an issue, you should have asked at the time. And I would have had no problem, like anybody who walks a fashion category shouldn't, is that you pull it off and you show your judges to show that you didn't sew it in, you didn't glue it in, and you did what you had to do. And that's all I would have done. After the fact,
okay.
I'm not going
how
to
do you, how do you prove that you didn't get it made to the judges?
Get it made? I don't even know how you get a shoe made, baby. Honestly, I don't.
Let me ask you a question.
Okay.
Because we both walk sneaker versus sneaker and things of that nature. So we're competing against each other. So I can say your shoe is fake because I want to probably know where you got it from and all that type of stuff. As a shoe connoisseur, your secret sources is your secret sources. Why would you tell me where you got your shoe from so I know where to start looking
well,
at and I have another source
to
get advice from?
I would never tell you that.
Why should Kadan do that?
I'm not saying that he should, but I want to be clear. I'm not saying that Kadan should do anything. I'm just simply asking the question as the devil's advocate here to, should he do this to silence the people who are making these allegations? And
the thing is, to silence who? That's what I don't understand. If silence who? If you don't even own a label in your closet, then why should I even entertain you first? I'm honestly not being funny. I've only walked the category 3 times, and all 3 times I have been blessed to have worn. And I'm thinking to myself, why would I wear a fake shoe the 3rd time for the 3rd category that night, and I started the whole night? I came through the building in a Prada shoe. I left the building in a D&G shoe. Tennis shoe. I'm a little lost on why would I all of a sudden in the middle, let me make a shoe to hype the girls up. No, I've had the shoe for a minute now to say I want to wear this shoe. I could never find out the glasses I wanted to pick the glasses that I really wanted to wear with it. So if Milan had an issue or anyone had an issue with it, that's the thing too. The ballroom scene needs to stop feeding into meth. And Milan wanted to know he had every opportunity when he was hollering up there about some glasses being $150. He should have asked at that time. His concentration wasn't on my shoe that got the most of the attention. He was on the glasses. And I didn't even battle him. Somebody else battled him. So why are we even entertaining? Which is what I honestly would not have been doing. I could care less. If you want to see me on the runway, just call me out.
Kadan, let me ask you this now. I get what you're saying, and it makes perfect sense. But the allegations that were made against you were very... from the outside appearance, it seemed kind of convincing. if you didn't know all the facts. So were you concerned, or are you concerned, that the things that were being said about you were tarnishing your reputation? Because some people would actually believe that stuff.
And then, but that's the truth. Tarnish your reputation, that, I mean, it's just that. Your interpretation of me, if I walk a ball and you say, oh, those might be fake shoes, and someone else will tell you they're not, and you chop me, when have you ever known me to say, oh, okay, I'm going to rush the judges or argue and fight over someone pointing over me? If you have a question, ask. I will answer the question.
Right.
I was trained years ago. I'm in a fashion house. Do you dare think that they would allow? That shoe has been seen by several people. And I just understand why one who, you know, claims, I don't know if he's a model, what he is in that industry. I really could care less. Mitchell might do that too. Honestly, there's no shade against Milan. It really isn't. But my thing is, you were up there hollering and screaming about some glasses that you say claim 150. I don't know. I didn't purchase those, so I don't know what they cost. I know mine didn't cost. And then
well,
I agree with you
on that point. If it was me, if I was walking the ball, if I was walking the ball and I had a question about my opponent's attire, I would have called it right then. I wouldn't have waited. So I do agree with you on that point. But Kadan, I don't know how long you have with us. I know you have to go. We have three callers who want to come on and talk to you. Would you mind taking a couple of phone calls before you have to get out of here?
Oh, I don't mind at all.
Okay, switchboard, let's bring on the first caller. Let me know who the first caller is, please. And we have 443-602. You're live on the air with Blumenthal and Cast and Kadan Milan. Go ahead.
No, Tom, I'm not a caller. I'm part of Tuesday night's show, and I call to say hello to my mother, London, and let her know that I love that intro. And I wanted to welcome you back to the fold, Tom. My name is Jason, and you'll hear me on Tuesday with the rest of the Tea Party cast. And hello to you as well, Rhonda.
Oh, really, Jason?
Rodney, you did not give me a chance. Rodney, don't do it. Have a drink. Sit there and have a drink.
Jason, thank you so much. I appreciate that warm welcome from you, and I thank you again. I want to move right to the next caller because we do have some folks wanting to talk to Kadan. But thank you, Jasmine. That was a wonderful warm welcome. We have a caller from 404-433 from Atlanta. You're live with Blumenthal and Cast and Kadan Milan. Go right ahead, please. You're live,
it's
Atlanta.
Rico.
Go ahead, please. Rico? Rico,
yes,
stand
Rico.
By one moment. Place Rico back on hold. Rico, we're coming back to you in about 5 minutes. Stand by.
Rico,
give me the next. That's not the Rico you're thinking, but give me the next caller, switchboard, please. Again, people, you're listening to Tins with Chops, and we have our very special exclusive guest, Kadan Milan, the man at the center of this YSL shoe controversy. You heard it from him first. He says the shoe is not a fake. Kadan Milan says the shoe is an authentic YSL East Saint Laurent, and he would have no reason to fake the shoe. He's in a fashion house. He's done it for years, and he says it's Milan just being Milan. Kadan, go right ahead.
Tom, you are in your right element. Honestly, you're in your calling. I'm going to tell you that.
Kadan, I want to thank you so much. Hey, listen, Ron, did you have anything for Kadan before he goes?
Just listening.
Okay. Now, Kadan, listen, you've done this for a while, Kadan. I mean, is this one of those kind of situations where you just tell the lady, look, meet you on the runway, or is it one of those non-factor kind
I mean,
of
but that's the thing. It's meet me on the runway. But my thing is, I feel bad for Milan, honestly, as a half-father of a house. I think that it's really sad that you have folks that are looking up to you, and you're acting like a bitter loser. I just really think he's not setting a good example and that kind of stuff. And it's not something I'm even involved in. If you know me over my ballroom history, whether you thought I should have lost or not, I've always walked off the stage graciously, congratulated my component and my competition, and I left. I don't understand why. That's my biggest thing. Why? If I just want to ask, and I ask them, why would I? Why would I have a shoe come from the gods to create the comfort of gods to win a trophy that two of my other house members are already walking as well? I mean, that just doesn't make sense to me. Honest to God, it doesn't
make sense. Well, Milan, you get a round two at the Gagaline Ball. Foot and Eyewear is a mini grand at that ball. So maybe this is your opportunity to call Milan out and tell Milan to meet you at the back.
I don't have a need to call him out because I don't have the issue. We end up walking away with the trophy. He's the one with the issue. So if he wants to know, just let me know and I'll be there. And you know, he should really make it hot by say bring a controversial piece and X, Y, Z, and I could bring that same shoe back and
yes.
anything else that he may need. So that's what I'm saying. It's not I don't even entertain that. That's mess and garbage. Which you know, my name is not even associated with that.
We have one more call for you before you take off. 678-993, also in Atlanta. You're with Blumenthal and Kanaan Milan. Go right ahead, please.
Hello, everybody on the show. I do have a question.
Hello.
Hi, Rodney. How are you?
My
love.
Hello. Hi, Rodney, Tommy, and Rona. What's her name? Rona Barry. What's her name?
Rhonda Daniels.
Rhonda Daniels.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Keep in mind, my question is this. When the shoe was put up, it was put in another group, a picture of the shoe with a caption basically showing that if you wanted to order the shoe, it said something to the side as far as, like, you know, customer call in or inquire about this shoe. Now, my question is, was that an accurate picture of somebody, you know, trying to inquire about the shoe? Because if it was, the only time I've ever seen where you can have it on a computer screen where it says click in and call is if it's coming from China somewhere, meaning that the shoe wasn't real.
Mm-hmm. Well, two things. I think when someone sent Harold the link. When Harold posted, I didn't see the picture at all, the shoe, and it wasn't the shoe. It was a similar shoe because I got it. I called Harold because I said, Harold, someone said there was a link. Send it to me because I bought the shoe in L.A. at a boutique. I don't have a need to, you know, make anything. But the shoe, from my understanding, was not the shoe that is my shoe. And that came from Harold. He posted the picture. So I think you started your statement off wrong when you said they posted the shoe. No, they posted something similar, and it wasn't even close to the shoe, from my understanding, but it was something that had the similar.
Okay, so, Kanaan, wait a minute. The picture of the shoe that's floating around, that's not the actual shoe you wore?
I don't know. I never seen the shoe, but Harold told me it wasn't. Harold said it's not.
Okay. Someone actually sent me a picture of the shoe, and I don't even know what a YSL shoe looks like, so I don't wear YSL, so I wouldn't have known if it was real or not. But that picture was sent to me, and the caption was that the shoe is not real. And, oh, by the way, caller, thank you for your phone call. I appreciate it. So we don't even know if the picture of the shoe that was sent is actually the shoe you wore, it sounds like.
But Harold, who posted the picture, told me that it wasn't. Harold said it's not the shoe. It was something that looked like the shoe, similar of the shoe, but it was not my shoe. I don't know. I've never seen it.
Okay.
I've never seen it.
All right. Well, Rodney, London, or Rhonda, do either of you have any more questions for Kanaan before we let him go?
No. Yeah,
I
was just guessing. Don, I'm guessing you don't remember the name of the boutique because I want to pick some things up.
Yeah. Good luck.
See, the thing, and I can understand why Kanaan would not answer that question because people do this to me all the time. Where do you get your sneakers from? And I've never told anybody unless it's somebody really close to me. I'm really cool with them. I would personally, I would never ask somebody where they bought a shoe from because I just think it's.
Thank you. Just compliment you. Oh, I love that shirt. I love that shirt, and keep moving.
I just think it's so unclassy.
I didn't want to say that because I don't know. Is that London? I don't know her, and I didn't want to think that I was being.
I'm not directing that at London. I'm just simply saying, being general here. I would not personally ask somebody where they got a piece. London was just getting
that,
saved.
And that's how I feel. I wouldn't because I feel as though it's not classy. To me, I feel as though it's not. Compliment you or your shoe or your hat, whatever it is that I like, and I keep moving.
I'm not trying to knock your labels or anything like that. I just want you to think.
Kanaan, because I'm doing this interview now, and see, right now I'm not in the street, so I can ask you right now where you got the shoe from because we're on the talk show here. So, you know, that's
you can ask anything you want to. You can ask
right,
anything
you want. Doesn't mean you're going to answer, I know.
Okay. So basically, Kanaan,
at the end of the day, for all of those with the allegations and alleged fakes, you're telling them all, child, please, and paying it.
And exactly.
No.
Kadon, we want to thank you so much. Can we get a round of applause, switchboard, for Kadon Milan, the legend himself, executive realness, body, putting eyewear, fashion, best dress, you know, the list goes on and on. And all I can say, Kadon, is meet the LaQuaz at the back. We won't have any discrepancies. Our pieces always come through. So.
Oh, speaking of that, Tom.
Yes.
I heard at one particular time you said you didn't think I should have won over somebody. I didn't get that.
Actually, I did say last week that I felt that regardless of what the situation is with the shoe, because I don't know, again, if the shoe was real or what, I did say I can think of several balls where you won and you shouldn't have. I absolutely said that, and I stand by that. You know,
okay.
We all have those nights where we get a panel that's friendly to us and, you know, somebody you had a drink with here or there or might even have banged once or twice, and so they're going to give you that vote, and it's cool. It happens. You know.
That's how it happened for you, Tom. Well, okay, I got you.
Oh, okay. I was about to say, I don't drink with too many people. I don't drink
right.
I don't party with too many people. So I think, Tom,
right.
I think that wouldn't apply to me. Yeah, I don't
okay.
know if you're looking at the mirror,
that
wouldn't apply to me.
I'm just simply throwing out some generalities. I'm saying I don't know what the reason
and
was.
And I want to make sure you knew it went over my head and away from me because I couldn't catch that one. You might have been throwing to yourself on that. I don't know. I don't parlay with people like that.
Well, my point was that there have been nights where I felt personally and others that you you know, got a win in that you probably shouldn't have gotten, and it happens to everybody, so it's no big deal. I don't, you know, I'm not tripping about
and
it.
Say one more time, it happens to what? You said it happens to everybody?
I said it happens to the best of us, absolutely. We've all had those nights where you know that, damn, I really got that one over. You know you wasn't at your best, but you still won, and, you know, it happens. I mean, I'm sure Rodney can speak to some times where that's happened to him. You've lost something.
I'm sorry. I'm not. When I'm on the runway, I'm always at my best. I'm sorry, Tom.
Wait, Tom, are you referring to the night Rodney supposedly wore Kelly's jacket?
I have no knowledge of that. I wasn't at that ball. I've been off the
table. Right, exactly. No, I have my own. Thank you.
No, but to end this topic about Kadon's shoe, my shoe is my shoe and my stitch couture is my stitch.
Yes. Kadon, once again, I want to thank you for coming on. First of all, Rodney is responsible for bringing Kadon on. I don't want people to think it was my doing. Rodney and Kadon are very close brothers, as they say, and friends. And Kadon, you know, we go way back from my ball DVD days. You bought many of my ball DVDs, and I think I've even recorded several of your functions that you've had. So, you know, it's no shade, and I appreciate you coming on the show tonight.
Come on,
to clear up.
None taken.
Yeah,
none taken at all.
To clear up the controversy surrounding the shoe, and you heard it from the horse's mouth, Kadon Milan saying the shoe is authentic, it is not a fake, and if anybody has a problem with it, meet him at the back, and he'll battle it out on the runway. Kadon, thank you again, and you're welcome anytime.
Oh, y'all be good, man. Good
yes,
night.
Thank you
have a good night.
Yes, Kadon, thank you.
And now, before we move any further, I want to remind you guys that the Gagaween Ball is coming up in Washington, D.C. next month, presented by Jasmine Couture, the legendary benefactor of the ballroom scene. And we want to make sure that you guys are prepared to govern yourselves accordingly to be in Washington, D.C. for the Gagaween Ball. Rodney, I'm sure you will be there as well as Rhonda Jenkins.
Be there. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
October 27th is the date. Now I want to get ready to bring on a very, very close friend of mine.
And Tom.
Used to be. Yes.
Yeah, before you do that, can I just say one thing?
Yes, go right ahead.
Oh, yeah. Rhonda, I see those tadpoles that you swallowed are a bit growing in your throat a little.
Oh. Please.
Let's get ready to
bring
on.
London, honey, I know this is your show, chill. Just keep it cute, and we're going to try to get along, okay? Don't worry about what's in my throat. What about your swallowing, okay? Chill.
Just one joke a night, sweetie. Much love.
Okay. Was that your one? Okay.
All right, let's get ready to bring on one of my close friends. He is a fashion icon, This man is a real designer in the fashion world. He's been on several reality shows. The current show that he's on right now is Braxton Family Values. He's a good friend of mine. We used to actually be neighbors. I want to welcome at this time Rico Chappelle from the House of Chappelle. Switchboard applause and Rico, please.
Hey, what's going on?
Rico, welcome to the show. Good evening.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Y'all are
Rico.
Boo.
Welcome to the show, sweetie.
Thank you.
Let's jump right into this, Rico. Tell me, first of all, what was the first reality show you were on? It was kind of centered on like a Project Runway type of a theme. What was it called?
Yeah, it was a fashion show, first season with Kelly Rowland and Ida Mizrahi as the host.
Okay, and so you were one of the contestants competing to be a designer, and you've been designing how long? How long have you been in the game?
Ooh, 15 years now.
And I would like to also say he's a proud graduate of Tennessee State University in Nashville, Tennessee.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Rico, our days go way, way back. We lived next door to each other. Well, actually, you lived right above me over in Midtown.
Yes, I used to call the police on me for phoning in the middle of the night.
Now, Rico, why do you have to go and bring that up? Okay.
So I'm as infamous for calling the police.
You need to stop, Robbie. So for the girls who don't know who Rico Chappelle is, Rico, as he just said, was on the design show, that very famous show with Isaac Mizrahi and Kelly Rowland. Now, Rico, you're on the Braxton Family Values. What in the world is that like?
Family Fire.
It's crazy. I'm actually Tony Braxton stylist for the road, for performances on the road, and I just work with the girls if they need me, you know, here and there. That's basically it.
Right. Now, Rico, you're not a stranger to the ballroom. You've actually walked one ball before. You said you'd never do it again because of the disorganization and so forth. Tell us, what kind of stuff do you design? What kind of clothing is your niche?
I do everything. Right now I'm doing a lot of ready-to-wear, which is that's my moneymaker. But I've known for working with, I don't know her ball name now, but it used to be Jamie Balenciaga, Christian, Miss Lawrence, Raquel, Sasha, all those girls.
Okay, and who are some of the celebrities, like in the real celebrity world that you've worked with?
I work with Cameron Diaz, Toni Braxton, Candy Burrs, Ricky Smiley, Vivica Fox, Niecy Nash, a whole lot of the kids.
So for the girls who are at home wondering, you know, who's Rico and thinking that, oh, this is some not, you're the real deal. This ain't no for play. You are a serious designer in the field. You're known. You're respected by your peers. The girls want to call your name to come and work with them.
Oh, yeah, pretty much. You know, but I keep it humble and, you know, that's how my blessings keep coming to me, just keeping it humble.
Okay, and I'm sure the girls are running to Google right now trying to figure out how to get in contact with you. How can they reach you? Facebook, Twitter, what's the website?
HouseOfChappelle.com is C-H-A-P-P-L-E, House of Chappelle.
All right, now, Rico, you said you'd never do another ball again. What happened? What was the why did you have such a bad experience that one time?
I'm not used to that whole scene, and I walk best dressed, and I guess you can call it female figure or whatever. And I got ready at 10 o'clock. I walked at 6 o'clock in the morning, and I got chopped. And when they chopped me, they was like, "Oh, your look was over, but we didn't know who you was." And I'm like, "If the look was over, I should have been pulled through." I mean, when I got chopped, I didn't even know I was chopped. And it was like, "Oh, we apologize." And I was like, "Wow." And I just saw the shade, the chick that won over Trey Goss' son. She was rather late. So I was like, you know what, this is just not for me.
Right. So you experienced what a lot of people experience and get turned off, and that's you were a victim of the girlfriend panel. That happens quite a lot in the ballroom scene. So you had that one experience, you decided you're never going to do it again, and that brings us to this controversy we just addressed with Kadam Alon. You were listening in, and you have studied the shoe that Kadam wore at last week's ball, the Candy World Ball, and there's this gigantic controversy brewing around this shoe. Was it a real YSL is the question. Kadan just said it was or it is. There's this other ballroom personality name we won't mention who is insisting that the shoe is a fake. Now, given your expertise in the field of fashion, you know YSL products. Well, you know YSL products.
Falling out.
Yes.
I do, and I'm going to be honest, before I even go into it, you know, I don't know Kadan. I've heard about him in the ballroom team. I don't know Kadan, but I'm going to be honest, just from talking over the phone, if I was a jeweler on the case, he would be guilty of plagiarizing the shoe. And simply because the last comment he gave his stuff away about the boutique-wise, when you're dealing with certain boutiques, when you're dealing with high-end lines such as Chanel, Gucci, Yves Saint Laurent, and all those labels, they don't sell to boutiques, especially when it comes to men's shoes. And so I have to say, when I saw the email, I have a very photographic memory. I said, I saw this shoe at an Indian store in D.C. Memorial Day weekend, and it was on sale. You know,
you make the distinction with male shoes. Why is that so important?
Because for basically because the money that goes behind female versus male, like you can get maybe a Yves Saint Laurent, or you can't get a Gucci in maybe like a Jeffries or those type stores in here in Atlanta or the one in New York, because the wholesale value, you know, when they purchase the shoe, you got to spend so much money. But in, like, regular boutiques, no, that's kind of out of the question. That's why if you see a Gucci in Intermix or a Gucci shoe in an Intermix, you may see a Gucci shirt or something like that, but no, not most of the time, no.
I understand what you're saying because I remember I went to get this Louis Vuitton evidence frame, you know, the black with the gold trim on top.
Right.
And I wanted to buy that frame, but I said, well, I'll look around at some boutiques. And I know the frame is going to cost the same regardless of where you get it from. So I was looking around some boutiques that I usually deal with for sunglasses, and I couldn't find that frame anywhere. And I soon found out that Louis Vuitton does not sell to boutiques. Only the Louis Vuitton store carries that frame or those products, period. So is this one of those kind of situations where YSL would not have its product in any other store but a YSL store?
Exactly. Exactly. As simple as that.
Wow. Okay.
My thing is, it's the ballroom scene. It's like, you know, people know, you know, and like K. Michelle said, show receipts. You know, if that's the case, you knew you're going to the ball and if there's any kind of, you know, people don't have any doubt about the shoe, have it in your pocket, pop it out, bam, you know.
Right.
But how much, let me ask you a question. How much validity do you take from someone who's been accused on more than 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 occasions participating in phony, fake, sewed-in labels themselves? That's the first question. And then secondly, if you go to a boutique, or just say me and Tom was shopping somewhere. He told me he got the shoe from boutique, but they didn't have my size. But they sell the shoe, and I decided I wanted them to ship it to that boutique so I can get it. Nor do I have to pay an extra $100 or $200. You're saying that the boutique wouldn't ship it to me or wouldn't bring it in because I'm paying the money for it?
That's a good question. Rico, would YSL or any other major house brand ship their product to a boutique as kind of the middleman, so to speak?
Never. Never. And literally, I sent a shoe to one of June Ambrose's assistants. She basically, like, laughed out loud.
Now, tell us who Jill Ambrose is so the kids will know.
Jill Ambrose is a stylist, you know, from Mariah Carey, P. Diddy. And basically, she's in New York and basically is saturated in labels, labels, labels. And Tuki is her.
So these are people who are connected to these fashion houses and know the product.
So, again, if YSL is sold in a boutique and they don't have my size and I wanted them to call and have them sent to that store, YSL wouldn't send another shoe and the shoe is already in the store?
YSL, no. That will only happen if you're in a YSL boutique. But if you buy wholesale, which nine times out of ten, YSL is not going to be in another boutique. No. You're going to buy a certain lot of shoes. You're going to buy a case of shoes, which normally 12 come in a case. And once you sell that case, you sell that case. Wholesale. Only way you can get something shipped from a boutique to another boutique if it's that same boutique. If it's in the same chain.
Okay.
But my thing is, you know, it should have been the judge's call. Actually, Kadun is totally right. He won the category hands down. It is not his fault that he won. It's the judge's.
It's actually the competitor, too, because if you're on the floor and you have an inkling in your mind that something is fake and you're actually walking against that individual, why not call them out on it right there on the runway while you're battling?
Well, you know, for me, I wouldn't say not a thing. Nine times out of ten, I probably wouldn't.
Well, Milan is not that type of person.
Milan is not that type of person at all. But it should have been the judges to clock that shoe while they're on the judging panel if they don't know what is a replica or not or something real or fake. So you're just going on what you like, and you're not knowing what you're judging on.
Well, that's usually
that's
how the ballroom works, unfortunately, especially when it comes to those categories. And then another problem too, in addition to the fact that the person who had the issue with the shoe did not address it at that moment. From what I'm told, you also had a panel that did not know fashion, did not understand the category, because they had, most of them on the panel at this time, had not ever competed in this type of category.
It was the same panel that probably judged Rico a long time ago.
Right.
Okay, so now that we've gotten that cleared up, Rico, tell us what do you have in the works in terms of what's the next season coming down the pipeline?
Yes. Is it true, T, that when you guys stayed in the building, in the same building, y'all used to shag?
No, we didn't shag.
You
and
Rico,
though. I just used to hear him shagging. We didn't shag.
I'm sorry. I don't even know what shagging means. I'm sorry. I can't answer that question.
Oh, but that's because you don't do it much, Tom, but it's okay. Go ahead.
Rico, what's
the next?
No, we didn't.
He's like a brother to me.
Yes, I mean, true. That's so true. Rico, what's the next season that's coming out next?
What you mean, what I just have going on, period?
No, I'm so out of the loop. Like, fashion kind of skips ahead a year, I think. Like, so what's next? The new stuff that's on the runway for Fashion Week in New York right now, what are they showing?
You know what, I did New York Fashion Week. At the end of the day, it's a bunch of people dressed up with no place to go, and they go home in their little apartments in Harlem or the Bronx with no money. So I just really stay down here for one of that is no reason. At the end of the day, it's about making money for me, so I'm selling what works. So my ready-to-wear line is flying out the door. And luckily, in 15 years, I haven't had to go get a job or anything like that. I just stay trendy, stay current. As far as my couture stuff, my high-end stuff, for next spring, it's very edition-inspired. Everything is very loose. It's very flowy, heavily jeweled, very simple, but just a lot of accessories. And I just kind of stay focused with my brand and my people because, I can actually really say thank you to the ballroom scene, thank you to the pageant scene, thanks to the Body Boys, because you guys have kept my doors open and have kept me alive. So I live all that,
So, Rico, can we get to Miss Trina really quickly?
Go ahead.
Can we just skip to her?
Yes, go ahead.
Was that your accent,
baby.
Thank you. I live for the clothes you threw on her for that video. Was that ready to wear?
No, that's not ready to wear. That's
okay.
More high end.
High. Okay. So when is the video dropping?
That's your video supposed to drop this week.
Okay, lovely.
Rico, I just want to give you a congratulations, first of all, because, you know, when he said I used to call the cops on him, and that's so not true, but Rico and I had a dispute because Rico lived on top of my apartment back in Atlanta.
This was several years ago.
But the problem was we had those wooden floors. Remember that, Rico? And
yes.
So Rico would turn this loud-ass sewing machine on, and it would vibrate everything in my apartment and literally vibrate through the floor. And so, you know, I used to have to get up extra early to go to work, and I would be trying to sleep, and all of a sudden I would hear this vibration going on, you know, at all hours of the night. And now I look back on that, and, you know, look at how far you've come, Rico, and how you've blossomed into this mega designer that, you know, big-time celebrities call and ask, can you design something for me? I mean, how does it feel to see where you have come from and how you've grown to where you are right now, even though you're not where you want to be, but, you know, looking back on where you came from, how does that feel, that this level of success that you have right now?
To be honest, I mean, I basically feel the same. It's like I'm still on the grind, you know. I know I want to have my chain of stores. You know, I've never necessarily given up on the whole Neiman Marcus thing or anything like that. I just feel now that create your own world and let them come to you, and that's what's been going on. So, I mean, I'm far from where I started, but I got a long way to go. So, I'm, you know, I just keep it cool and keep doing my thing.
Okay, let's take a caller. We have someone from Charlotte, 907. You're live on the air with Blumenthal and Rico Chappelle. Go ahead.
Hello, Marcus.
Oh, what's up, Tom? Rhonda, London, everyone. I have a question, because everyone keeps saying that the shoe was probably a replica. Does
it's
everybody know
replica.
What replica
it's
means?
Not why. It's not a replica.
Well,
it's not a YSL.
Other people... Okay, but even if it's a shoe made in, you know, China or wherever, it probably was copied from some type of designer type shoe, correct? So even if the one, why couldn't it have been the one that he had was actually an authentic shoe, and the shoes that were online are replicas that, you know, that may not exactly represent what he purchased?
Well,
you know, the argument
hold
is that it was a replica.
Yes, one second. Hold on a second, Rico. Rico is not saying that Tadan wore a fake shoe. Rico is basing his opinion on the picture of the shoe he saw, and he's stating, and I think he's already stated, that YSL does not sell its products to a boutique. So you have that question has been answered. But, Rico, you're more than welcome to go ahead and respond to that again.
Well, just so you know, the whole thing about the China situation, what's going on right now everyone, you know, they say they get their stuff manufactured in Italy and handmade in Paris. All that's basically a lie. So when you guys buy into that high-end expensive product, you guys feel like you're getting something one-of-a-kind made. All that shit is made in China and Hong Kong. So basically how it's broken down into tiers. You have they go through the products. Some products don't make it on the line, so they sell those as knockoffs. Knockoffs are a big business. It was probably meant for that shoe. I've never seen YSL create anything like that. But it may, like when you're dealing with the bags, it probably was meant for a Gucci bag, but it didn't make it as the qualifications of it. So they'll say it's a knockoff, and then they'll sell it, and it doesn't make the Gucci stores. It'll go in production as a knockoff, and it is what it is, a knockoff.
Okay. Marcus, anything else?
Oh, no. My question really wasn't tailored to, you know, Rico. It was more of, you know, the allegations that were made. People kept saying, you know, something is a, you know, we had a tennis shoe come up that two people wore. One wore it in L.A. and another person wore it in Buffalo, and they kept saying that there was no way the shoe was the Christian Louboutin shoe. And then we found out the shoe actually is a real shoe.
I just want to clarify, we are not accusing Kadan, at least I'm not.
Well, right,
wearing
we
a
know
fake
it's not
shoe.
You.
Right. I just want to put that out there. That concept,
yes, that you're accusing him, but you are on the bandwagon.
I'm not on the bandwagon, and you're not going to put that label on me, Rodney.
No,
ma'am.
Let me get this clear.
This is gonna be clear tonight.
Right.
I am not on. Excuse me. I'm not on anybody's bandwagon. I am simply presenting all sides of the coin. Now, go right ahead, Rico.
But on Kadun offense, he probably got. You never know. He probably went to a boutique, paid a good $1,200 for the shoe, and not knowing. I know a lot of people that get got like that. So in actuality, he's probably right. But in actuality, if whoever had his ball had noted judges on a panel that knew what the hell they was doing, you wouldn't have this problem.
Okay. Caller, thank you so much. Switchboard, do we have any other callers who want to come on and talk to Rico? And while you're checking that switchboard, okay, so Rico, you're telling us that you do these ready-to-wear type dresses and so forth. So what is the hot new item that's going to be on the scene after Fashion Week is over in New York City?
Oh, child, I didn't even pay attention to New York. I just pay attention to what's going on my online store at shop.housewithpell.com. Sorry for that shameless plug. And right now, everybody is getting to a classic fit dress. It's very sexy. Everyone loves them. Jamie Balenciaga had on a couple of them at the ball. Tempress always buys them. So that's what all the girls are getting in their life for that. And for the guys, they're loving my Razorback tanks, $10, you know, free shipping. But can I say something about the ballroom scene?
Yeah, go ahead.
I think that you guys in the ballroom scene have been having something beautiful since the, 70s, 80s? But the thing is, I think for the rest of the world to take you guys serious, that you guys need reputable judges and to actually have a show, a real show, some type of reality show or some type of video, DVD to sell to actually make money. Because I think the ballroom kids are so fucking extremely talented. But it's just like, okay, 6 o'clock in the morning, really? You go home and you got to sleep all day? And, like, who does that? You know, and I'm not trying to throw shade or anything because I get a lot of inspiration from the ballroom scene. I love to sit all day, all night, and just watch them damn videos. But I'm just like, y'all haven't.
So, Rico.
Yeah.
Speaking of Tempress, did you make a gold gown for her with a do-rag cap?
With the gold gown? No, I didn't.
Wait a minute. Why did Rodney fall out?
Because I sent some shade into that. Last gown I made for Tempress was it was like a turquoisey like feathered gown. She walked in the bar like 5 years ago.
Oh, okay,
Yeah, and the last couple of pieces I made was just like cat suits, you know, that Versace print cat suit I made, stuff like that.
Right. So try to pull her back in. Try to pull her back in because she's going off the rail a little bit.
I don't know what's going on with Tempers. I don't know if the coin's coming in right, but you know, I don't know because all my custom stuff I tend to be a little expensive.
Wait, Rodney, what house is Tempers in now?
She's Blonick. She's the mother of the house of Blonick. Blonick's the father, Tempers is the mother.
She joined the house, and she's no longer getting compensation for being a trophy mother.
Okay.
Who is this young lady with this English accent?
London Bridge, my darling. At me on Facebook.
I'm living for you, darling. I love you.
Yes.
Okay. Rico, first of all, Ron, are you still with us, sweetie?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Rico, I want to thank you so much for coming on tonight. We really appreciate it. I'm going to let you go because I know you're probably busy with work and so forth. But before you get out of here, tell us again, give us your website, how folks can get a hold of you if they want to buy one of your lovely dresses. You also do swimwear for the guys and for the girls. You do jewelry and so forth. So tell us, how can people reach you?
You can go to my website at www.houseofchappelle.com, and that is C-H-A-P-P-L-E. I'm starting a magazine, which is called HLCmagazine.com. You can check that out. Shooting a lot of my celebrity clients. It's almost like an old magazine.
for Fashion, nonprofit organization to help kids in the inner city learn about fashion. And Twitter, Instagram, Facebook is all Rico Chappelle, Rico spelled with an E. That's basically it. Do my thing and just hopefully make the world a better place, one beautiful frock at a time, honey.
I know that's right. Rico, thank you again. We appreciate
yes,
it so
Rico,
much.
Yes, Rico, thank you for calling in this evening.
You're welcome.
And I wish you guys
the
best.
Let's have a round of applause. Let's have a round of applause for...
Yes, Rico. Keep up the good work, Rico.
All right, Rico, have a good night. We'll talk to you next time.
Yes,
all
right, Bobby.
Thank you, sweetie. Night.
Okay, Switchboard, do we have our next special guest on the line? And while you check that, I want to remind everybody, October 27th, it goes down in Washington, D.C., the Gagawin Ball. And my next function, my next ball, Rodney, I'm sure you're waiting to see me again. Rhonda, I hope you will be in the building, but I will be headed to Detroit.
Waiting to see you for what?
Oh, just to see me, child. What do you mean for what? Don't try it.
Oh, okay. That's just on the runway. I was confused.
Oh, honey, you can see me on the runway, too. It's no change. I mean, I did start the category, so I will, you know, if I need to come and serve it again, I can. Make no mistake.
No.
Yeah,
Andre did you a favor. Let's give her a history, Tom. We're here on the show.
Honey,
We're here to give ballroom history.
You know what? In fact, since you want to question it, we have the man himself on the line. But before we go to that man, I just want to say I will be in Detroit for Gamblers Anonymous, the legendary Goddess Rodeo, who no one can do it like Goddess, and that's the only person that will get me to go to Detroit, with the exception of a few others. So I want to let everybody know that I will be in the building for my legendary friend, for Goddess Rodeo. Now let's bring this next special guest on. You guys, this man, he's no stranger to the radio program. He was one of my very first special guests when I started the radio program several years back, and he's back with us tonight. Applause. And let's have the legendary icon himself, Andre Mizrahi. Andre.
Yes.
Andre, we're so pleased that you are joining us tonight. How are you?
I'm great. How are you, Tom?
What's going on, Andre?
Hey,
hello, Andre.
Yeah.
Hey, what's up, Rodney? I don't know who the other voice is, but how are you two?
That's London.
Oh, come on.
Hey, London.
Hey, Andre, chill. This is Rhonda, chill.
Oh, that's Rhonda. Hey, Rhonda, girl.
Andre, first of all, let me just remind everybody, grand prize at the Gagawin Ball, $6,000 open to all legendary team performance. Now, Andre, you have not given any interviews since the Candy World Ball, is that right?
No, I haven't.
Okay. Well, first of all, welcome back to the show. I appreciate you coming on. You told me earlier that the only way you would come back on a radio program is because of me and because of the relationship, the history that we have. So I want to thank you. Many of the folks in the listening audience probably remember my very first house was the House of Givenchy back in, I want to say, 2004, was it, Andre?
Yeah, anywhere from 2002 to 2004, so anywhere in that.
Right. But I didn't come into the scene until 2004. I believe that was back when you lived out on Buford Highway at the time. My very first ball that I walked was the G&B ball, the Givenchy Balenciaga ball. I believe you gave that along with Ray, who was a Balenciaga at that time. That was my first ball. My first ball walking, and I actually won that first night that I walked, Executive Realness, Rodney. I was there, Tom.
I won grand prize team realness for $1,000. I was there.
Okay. Anyway.
Okay.
So, Andre, right off the bat, I mean, a lot of these girls don't remember who I am, and I don't like to toot my own horn and remind people, but sometimes you have to remind them, that you didn't just fall off no tram truck, because they tend to think that sometimes. Rodney has it confused about who actually, who originated the sneaker versus sneaker category, and I know that it was me at the Wednesday night mini ball. And so we don't even have to debate that. Let's just jump right into Candy World, because a lot of people want to talk about Candy World. Andre, first of all, the house was packed. The enthusiasm was
you know, on level 10. How did you feel? How do you feel about the ball and how it went?
Well,
it was over 100 kills.
I at first I was like really like going through it with the man in the building because for the whole week before the ball started, they were trying to fix the air and they said that definitely the air was going to be fixed. So that next day, he still tried to fix the air completely or whatever, but the air could not be fixed. So once I seen how really it was so hot in there, I already knew that fucked up the night completely with so many different things, but we already knew that ball had to go on, period.
Hold on, Andre. You didn't know till the day of that the AC could not be fixed?
Yeah, he told me all week that the man is definitely going to fix the air, and up to that day, he still said the man definitely the air was going to work, and he promised and promised. And he promised Jack as well as promised me. We had him on two-way and all of that, but that day he said they didn't fix it or whatever. We really could do, period, but suffer. And I think that really, I think the ball was okay, but I think it would have been much better if it was here. And, you know, I mean, we still had a bunch of competition or whatever, and the houses really came in full, but it was really hot as fucking devil.
Do you think that the temperature situation, the climate, do you think that kind of took a lot of the energy and zapped the energy out of the function?
I didn't even have energy, so I know it took so much. I was frustrated. I was hot. I wanted it to end. I wanted it to leave. So I already knew that just took so much away from the ball completely.
Okay. Well,
so,
Audrey,
honey,
first
what
question.
About the non-working toilets and the water that wasn't working? What was the tea on that?
Well, the water was working. Maybe it wasn't working in certain areas. I don't know because I didn't go in every last room or every last bathroom, but the water definitely was working in the building. Now, if it wasn't working in our toilets, that's another thing that I don't know about, period.
No,
Andre,
yeah,
are you
it's
on,
right.
Wait,
right.
Hold on a second. Hold on. Andre, are you on a speakerphone or a earpiece? Because you sound kind of muffled. Or are you laying down and the phone's
yeah,
in the pillow?
Yeah, let me fix it.
Okay, maybe somebody's on top of you or something. I don't know.
Whatever. You can hear me better now?
Slightly, but you still sound muffled, dear.
I don't know why I'm muffled now. I'm on. That maybe your phone muffled, honey.
All right. Well, the people are typing in or messaging in saying you sound muffled, so maybe it's the Metro PCS. I don't know. Anyway.
I'm
going to
keep my Metro, but go ahead.
You know, I'm just laughing at Tom. Her cattiness overwhelms me sometimes.
Yeah, but Rhonda, the water was working. It was actually, someone said that it was backed up water from 3 months ago. So the girls were drinking backed up sewer water. And the place is being auctioned. Did you know that before you guys?
Yeah, I did know that. It was on the news. It was actually on the news like one
well,
week. It was 4 days before the ball. It was on the news.
Let me correct that. The school is not going to be auctioned off. They were threatening to hold an auction on September 4th, but that auction was stopped because the school filed for bankruptcy. And Morris Brown College, I have to just defend the college, first of all, because it is an HBCU founded by freed slaves, the only HBCU in Georgia that was founded by black people for black people. So the school is not going to go anywhere. They're just dealing with some financial difficulties right now, and I believe they're going to bounce back from it. So, you know, certainly not to read the school. But, Andre, a lot of people are saying that you had some, you know, responsibility as the promoter of the ball to ensure that these kinds of issues would not be in existence on the day of the ball. So the question I have, and this is always my pet peeve with any ball because they usually always start late, why did the ball start so late after you promised and promised it would start on time?
Because of the heat. First of all, a lot of people don't know, if you have that much heat in the building, you're trying to find other ways to not get it so it can be cold. You try to rent things. You try to figure this out. So that pushes a lot of hours back completely.
Okay, so you guys wanted to wait until it got later so it could cool off.
That was one of the reasons, not completely. We tried to get a cooling system, people to bring cooling systems in too, but it was last minute, so they couldn't bring that in. So that was pushing it back, period. But then Jack said, well, let's push it back further
because it's too fucking hot in there and bitches is coming in there at 3 p.m. So it was a lot to deal with. Now, I will take the blame for the heat because it ain't my building, but we didn't know till the last minute. But you're right. It definitely was my event, so I have to take some blame for it. Now, anything else with the toilets and the water, that's just vindictive people saying whatever they want to say. It was water in the building. The only thing you really can say that makes sense about that whole building, and it was hot. Other than that, you can't really say nothing else. The ball was great. Everybody got their money, and the case was
great. Now, here's another big controversy. You heard about this whole thing with the shoe in Kadan, and we don't want to beat that dead horse.
I heard about that, but I was actually getting dressed for Grand March when that category was on. I wasn't in the front at all, so I don't really know too much about it. I love Kadan as a person. I love Milan. That's my child. Whatever they're going through or whatever Milan said or whatever, I don't even really care. This is ballroom. I don't have time for that. I never did. I'm never going to sit here and lander out on anybody about something that I heard, and that's the bottom line of that.
What about this judges panel? That is the next big topic that's on everybody's mind.
The judges panel was all Mizrahi's. It's a lot of stuff that they did that I don't agree, but that's a part of every panel. I can't sit here and tell every child to vote for whoever they feel. Let me finish.
Well, wait a second, Andre. I have to stop you because I have to cut you off here and ask you another question. Please, just allow me.
Let me answer that one, and then you can ask me that question.
Well, you just answered it, but let me stop and let you go ahead. Go right ahead, Andre.
Yeah, the bottom line is it was all Mizrahi's, which we will do every ball, period. Now, when it comes to judging, I can't go in everybody's mind and say, well, I think this one should win and this one. Now, don't get me wrong. I have cringed a few times when I've seen somebody win, and I was like, well, what the fuck, like, in my mind. But if you notice, Jack and I was changing people every 4 minutes because we didn't agree with a lot of stuff as well. But that's a part of panels. You cannot sit here and tell somebody
who's
the
problem here. Here's the problem.
This is your problem. No, don't go here. The problem. This is his, Tom's problem.
Okay, let me rephrase it because this is what people are writing me, asking me to ask you. So it's not my problem because, number one, I was not there. I did not walk the wall, and I don't care. So people are writing me and asking, Andre, why did you promise that the panel would be full of legends and overseers and mothers, and it was what they would call no names or knots who have no status and don't understand the categories because they haven't walked them? Why would
let me say this. Heat. Once heat is, you would gag at so many Mizrahis left the building completely. We cannot find judges because the heat was so fucking hot, we had to put who was in front of us to judge because that's how hot it was in the building.
Okay. I see. Rodney?
Yes.
Do you have any questions?
No, actually, besides the heat, I enjoy myself as well. I know with any panel that it's going to be controversy or when the expected person didn't win or things of that nature. So I, as a ball walker myself and competitor, I understand.
Andre, what do you think about the houses who won the grand prizes and the mini grands? Do you think it was fair and you think they deserved it and all that stuff? You're happy for them, I'm sure.
Well, the only way I would say that I think it was fair is meaning whoever got the most points, it was fair if they should win. Now, looking at who won each category, I'm going to have different thoughts of who I felt should have won that or who I felt should have won this. But as of the points, it's in box about it. It's like, okay, this one got that, that one got that, that one got that. That's grand prize, second place, third place. Category's closed. It's nothing. Mm-hmm. I don't even go past that at that time. Because my bottom line is, you can't win them all, you can't lose them all, regardless of what it is. Keep going. That's it.
So overall, you are pleased with the outcome of the function. I mean, aside from the things you could not control, like the heat, obviously, you're okay with how it turned out, and you're happy with it.
Yes, I'm definitely okay with it. I'm not going to say I'm 100% happy, satisfied, because I'm not. I wish it was much better than what it was. But, yes, I'm definitely pleased. Why I'm pleased? Because the ball completely finished. It was no fights, and everybody got their coins. So that's what I'm pleased about.
So I think if anybody had gotten to a fight at this function, from what they described, they would have just passed out after the first blow, honey, because it was so sweaty.
Yeah, I don't think they would have, because some people that get so drunk and high anyway, be that hot anyway, they be so adrenalism out of their mind.
Right,
so it would have been the same thing. Like,
Speaking of drinks, Andre, did you guys run out of water the first 30 minutes?
Yeah, they ran out of water real fast, and then they went and got some more. And I think they ran out of that water, too. That's how hot it was. Yeah.
Wow. Congratulations.
Oh,
well, here's another big question a lot of people are asking. What was the bottom line? How much did you guys make off with?
You said what?
how much did you make?
So all promoters, if they know balls, then they know what was made. Other than that, I don't never talk about finances, about balls. I never did, and I never will start.
Okay, well, it's just a question I thought I would ask. You know, I understand you can't talk about it. It's okay. Now here's the other thing. This one threw me for a loop. Last week, Kelly talked about this when she left the show. She has stepped down, as you know. And by the way, how do you feel about Kelly stepping down from her duties as host of the Tinsley Chops radio show?
Well, that's truthfully, Kelly's a grown-ass woman. That's one. How do I feel about it? That's just a part of sometimes you just get over something for a minute and maybe you need a breather. You just sit back and try to figure something out that you might be going through or want to change in life. And that's that. I just took it as a breather. I don't think she completely.
Yeah, she had talked about how the ballroom, how the radio program ruined her marriage and broke up her and her lover. And she wanted to
I didn't hear her last, like, performance on the radio.
Yeah,
so
she talked about that last
week,
and I think she kind of wanted to just get back to herself and reclaim her life. And, you know, this thing takes a lot out of you. And these queens, they will drain every last
I know it takes a lot out of you because I was a radio host as well. You remember that. So you know I know it takes a lot out of you. But,
I remember you.
You know, I really can't answer anything for her now. I just think that she probably, yes, it probably took a lot of her, and she just
well,
didn't know that I needed to sit back
and
breathe about it.
There is one thing you can answer for her. What exactly is the directing mother position? Because a lot of people are just simply
baffled. It answers itself. I don't even have to answer that question because it answers, direct me what? This is something that everybody wants to kiki about, but I want everyone to know one thing. Me and Jack started East Coast and everything else when it comes to leaderships and houses, and other houses follow. So follow that as well. Director means self-explanatory. Think about it for a minute, and you'll get it. If you can't get it, then something's wrong with you.
Work. What is Selva's new role?
What is Selva's the grandmother.
Okay. How do you feel about having those two people back in the fold? I mean, they had been gone for some time.
Don't get me wrong. I love Selva for coming back to the house, and I love Kelly for coming back to the house, but if they wouldn't have came back to this house, they still are a part of me for life. They're my kids. I would do if I can with them. And if no one knows, Selva still lives with me to this day. Like, it didn't matter. Don't get me wrong. I always want them to be a part of me as Mizrahi as well. But if they did not come back home, they're still a part of me in life, period. So it don't matter if they leave tomorrow or stay. They're still a part of me, period.
Gagaween, October 27th. Andre, will you be in the building for the legendary open hall performance, $6,000?
Yeah, I should be in the building. That's my birthday weekend, but I'm definitely thinking about being in the building completely. I didn't make it 100% that I'm going to be there, but I could say 65 to 70% I should be in the building.
Will you be competing for the $6,000?
If I'm in the building, I'm definitely competing if it's one of my categories.
Okay.
Work.
Yeah.
Now, next week, 2 weeks from now, the legendary Goddess Rodeo in Detroit, Gamblers Anonymous, will you be in the building for that?
I'm definitely going to Goddess, boy. That's my girlfriend.
Work. Okay. Andre, we have a call for you. Let's go straight to the phone line, 347-413. You're live with the Icon, Andre, and Blumenthal. Go ahead.
Hello. Hi, everyone.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Yes. Can I just say something about, like, Kelly or whatever, her leaving the radio show?
Yes.
Now, you mentioned that Kelly left the show because of her relationship or whatever. It, you know, affected her relationship. But then it seems like it's a contradiction because if that is the case, then why stay in the ballroom the ballroom scene itself. Now, if she happens to get into another relationship, wouldn't that affect her relationship again? Why didn't she just leave it altogether?
No, she stated, let me answer a little bit of that based on what I heard Kelly say. Based on where that relationship that was in trouble, the lover had to get up early in the morning, therefore Kelly wasn't able to spend any night quiet time with them. She was on the show, and when it's time for her to get off the show, it's time for him to get up for work, so that kind of affected their bonding time. So that's like one of the issues.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Well, I don't see how that, well, to be honest with you, and this is my opinion, I don't see how that would affect their bonding time, because it's not like she was on the show Monday through Friday or whatever. Understand what I'm saying?
Well, a lot of people had that same question, but, you know, I have to take Kelly at her word. That's what she said. I have no reason to doubt that. And, you know, it is what it is. I mean, that's one of the reasons she gave, and, you know, that's just kind of it for me. I'm not really all that much into her home and what's going on in her home, so I don't care one way or the other, to be honest with you.
Okay, and just to say this, and it's no disrespect to her, it just comes off as, you know, being very, I don't know, it just comes off as being confusing because, you know, if you're going to do one thing, then you ought to stick with it, you know.
Right.
If I'm in a relationship, and if something affects my relationship pertaining to ballroom scene or anything like that, I'm going to leave everything alone. And,
right.
You know.
And if I have a Facebook and I'm not on the radio show, I would like for someone to address me on my Facebook.
Yeah, caller, thank you so much for calling. I understand what you're saying because the ballroom scene is quite confusing. It can really be baffling, you know. There's a lot of things that baffle me, so, you know, I don't try to figure that stuff out. It doesn't affect my life. I just keep it moving. So, Andre, what's next for you? What's the next function?
Tom, Andre?
Yeah.
I just received a text. I guess it's my turn for a question now. people want to know, since Face was just, you know, announced as Olaf Father Herrera and left the house, and Sammy Mizrahi, does he have a actual title in the house?
No, Face don't have a title in this house right now. Now, he might can get one in due time. If he show his loyalty and show that he's dedicated to this house, then that's a different story. But right now, he doesn't have a title.
Okay. You've heard first, guys. Face, Ebony, ex-Ebony, Herrera.
Oh, I didn't know Face had left Ebony. Okay. Yeah, speaking of Ebony, there's a lot of shakeup going on over there, Andre. We'll talk about that in a moment. Go ahead, Rodney.
That was the only thing they sent over for me.
Okay. Rodney or Andre, either of you can try to tackle this, but what do you guys know about the shakeup in the House of Ebony? I understand a lot of people have gotten pink slips recently.
Yeah, a lot of people have gotten what?
Pink slips. They've been kicked out, put out.
Oh, well, that's her part of every house. Every house goes through, they shake up, ship out, get rid of. They probably just thought they needed some cleaning, and that's what they did to fix their house up. So congratulations.
Yeah, when you think about Face, you immediately think Face Ebony. That's the only thing you associate with him. So to hear him now face some other house, it's kind of hard to
he loved Ebony
years ago, though, Tom.
Right,
but
he left when you left.
I didn't know that. Okay, well, that's new to me. I guess I really have been off the scene for a while.
Yeah, Tom, when you went under the rock, he switched houses.
Oh, wow, under the rock. So, Andre, what's next? What's the next function?
Well, the next two functions, well, I'm going to try to do the rest of this year out with functions, but as of January is a new thing for me. I'm just trying to focus on my new store that I'm opening in Georgia. It actually opens in November, but a clothing store. So, I'm really doing a lot with that. So, other than that,
oh god,
cool.
Andre, you ready for me again?
Oh god, what now?
Okay, the question is, let me repeat it. Say it again.
Who's the new boo, Andre?
You said who's the new boo?
Yes, Jill. We know you keep
a new
boo.
Right now, I don't have a boo. Well, maybe that could help me. I don't know. Boo's is retarded. I don't know. Everything that comes my way is a little tainted and retarded. So I'm going to figure out something that's good for Andre and good for itself or something, because I don't know. Me and Boo's
don't work. Chill, to be fair, they all are kind of young. So, you know, they come crazy.
Yeah, I'm trying to go for something a little older now.
Word.
Fuck Chill.
Rodney, go ahead with your question.
Okay. Andre, it is. Hold on, let me click back on. Based on all the ladies that you have in your house, strong-minded, strong-willed, how did you choose Trace as the overall mother?
Oh, shit.
I'm going to laugh at that one first, but the only two it came down to is Trace and Barbie, and Barbie have so much of a big career right now, and Barbie wanted to be queen mother, and Trace definitely fulfills ballroom, and she's everything that I wanted right now. So, yeah, I love Trace, and that's what I wanted to go with.
Yeah, right. I find it shocking that Barbie could even be in the top two, and here's why. I will never forget
what
Barbie.
But that's you. You're not in my house, so I don't care what you think.
I know Andre.
Definitely going to give you his opinion.
Okay, now what's your opinion, dog?
Well, I think back to when Barbie flipped out and showed up at Ruben's dad's funeral. I mean, I can't get over that. That was like a Dr. Phil moment. I mean,
a lot of people have personal issues with life that they did something wrong in their life, including me, including Tom, everybody. So you cannot take one thing that somebody might have did personally that don't have nothing to do with balls and just say they shouldn't be a mother of a house or something because of what you feel with something personal.
Okay, I can go along with that. All right, let's go back to the phone line, 770-374 in Atlanta. You're live with Andre Mizrahi and Blumenthal. Go ahead.
Well, first, let me welcome the new cast. You guys are doing a great job. I'm entertaining. I like listening. I also wanted to say something to the icon, Andre, that he's one of the reasons I even watch Ballroom. He's always entertaining. I just love seeing him. I'm curious, what would one do at this point to get into the House of Mizrahi if they were interested?
It depends on what chapter you're in. Every chapter have meetings, and you probably will have to go forth and until the meeting that whatever chapter you're in. And each chapter is ran a little different as well to get into the house. So that's basically what you would have to do to know what state you're in.
Okay.
Is that all, caller?
Yes,
and caller, may we ask what you want?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
What category would
you want?
Yeah.
Probably labels would be something I'd want.
Okay. Caller, thank you so much. Andre, do you have a position in your house called tween mother?
Yes, he does. He just said that.
Say what?
Yes, Bobby has that position.
Oh, okay, so what's the difference between the queen mother and the overall mother?
Queen mother is what Octavia had. Queen mother is someone that basically don't really have too much time for ballroom. They come in and out, and they have so much to do with their career or their life or their job out of the ballroom scene, so we just made them queen mother because they're as high as the overall mother, but they just can't take that title because of other things.
I see, yep. Other obligations. Let's go back to the phone lines because we have several callers coming in now. 301-379, I believe that's Marilyn for the icon, and Blumenthal, go ahead.
What's going on, Harold?
Caller, you're live on the air. 301-379, go ahead. Okay, it appears we lost 301-379. Let's go to Dallas, 214-477. You're live with Blumenthal, and we have Andre Mizrahi.
I have a question. What happened to the House of Alamikli? Is it still open?
To my knowledge, I'm not sure. I think it will stay. I think Nicole might be keeping it open. But I'm not 100% sure. That's something that you would have to talk to with Selvin or Nicole.
Oh, yeah. And, Andre, that was another question up in the air. Would you allow Selvin to bring Nicole to the House of Mizrahi?
Nicole is definitely a girlfriend of mine, and she's been a girlfriend of mine for years, period. Nicole is definitely has her own mind. If Nicole definitely wanted to be here, out of respect, Nicole could come here. Even if Selvin wasn't a part of us and Nicole wanted to come to my house, that's how much history we have. I would never deny Nicole wanting to come here. But whatever Nicole wanted to do, that's up to Nicole. But I'm still her friend regardless.
Have the two of them talked? Are they still talking?
Is Nicole and who? Selvin?
Selvin, yeah.
Yeah, if I'm right, they have a bondship that they will still be talking. They might don't agree with certain things, but they're friends. They would definitely still be talking.
Okay.
Okay, I have another one. They love the girls. You ready?
Yeah, I can see.
Okay. What is the relationship with you and this young lady, and will she be returning to the fold anytime soon? That would be Miss Amaya.
Me and Amaya definitely we're friends. We had no altercation, but the only altercation we ever really ever had was when we was in the house and we didn't agree at one time and when she left. But other than that, we're friends. Will she come back? I really don't know. We haven't spoke that much to know if she would come back or not. So, to my knowledge, I don't know. I can't answer that question.
What house is she in now? She's a 007. Oh, okay.
I heard she's a 007 right now, but I'm not 100% sure about that either.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about Tempest, Andre?
What I know about who?
What do you think about Tempest?
I love Tempest as a person. What you mean, what do I think about her?
Well, give us what you think about the look now and the new, you know, what do you think about her?
I think Tempest knows ballroom. I think Tempest is gorgeous. I think she definitely has a look. I think Tempest, when you know something, you know it. So you know exactly what to bring, how to bring it. You know what to give the girls to go up. So I always loved everything about Tempest, period.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
What do you think about the look since you brought it up?
I haven't seen Tempest in quite some time, so I wouldn't know her from a can of paint if I saw it today.
So what made you bring that up? Was that a question
no, but
or
the
that
look,
something?
It's a coincidence.
You
can of paint.
I want to get your opinion, but go ahead, London.
Oh, okay.
No, it was a coincidence. You said you can carry a can of paint. It gives you a can of paint, the look.
Incoming transmission.
A very black.
Switchboard, do we have a caller who wants to talk?
Oh my God.
Oh wow. Okay. Yeah. Andre, it's been a pleasure. You know, when we first launched Serve the Kids Radio way back in, I think it was 2006, you were one of my very first.
Incoming transmission.
Special guests on the show, and I will never forget.
Wait, Tom, I think we have a caller for Andre. 301-379, you're live on the air.
What's up, London? How you doing?
Hey, hello.
Lovely.
What's going on, Andre? What's going on, Rodney and Cass? How's everyone
going on?
Hey, you had that number. You had that number as long as I had my number.
Okay. Yes, and it's never been off, even when, you know, the folks were overseas. Hi, Rhonda. But, you know, the number
right.
Has still been
on.
The number was still on, you know what I'm saying. But anyway, you know, I just wanted to call. Man, I hadn't had a chance to talk to Andre since the ball. You know,
and
I know
Harold, you also have Tom Blumenthal on the line as well.
I did say and cast.
you did. You're right. You did give and cast, but you didn't give and Tom.
Right.
I'm not the cast. I'm Tom. Now, go ahead.
Part of the cast. Right, Harold.
The cast. Hey, I gave you a compliment.
Speaking of the cast, Milan said you guys were fatigued and tired from the ball, so you wouldn't be on the radio.
No, actually, you know, actually, to be honest, I think that, you know, realistically, there are numerous shows covering the ballroom scene. It was a really a slow weekend. And, you know, I kind of knew that there was a shift and a shakeup here, you know, this weekend y'all were going to be debuting. We really had nothing to really cover and talk about. So, it was kind of like there was no point in getting on the air and, you know, filling two hours of space and just, you know, just talking. So, you know, we opted just you know, each
right,
our own
right.
personal Mondays.
Howard, you answered that a long time ago. Thank you.
Right.
Well,
so
I think that was a great idea, Harold.
Yeah, so anyway, so that was the nature of it.
Well, Harold,
yes.
The host of both shows like to hear themselves talk, so it could have went on.
This too is true.
Rodney, you are a mess.
The host of my show has a group where, you know, he can kind of, you know, talk to thousands of people and, you know, in the group. And the host of this show, well, you know, he's both. So, Andre, again, I just wanted to extend kudos
Harold,
to you on the
you
ball.
Know, Harold, I don't know why after all these years, Harold,
Tom.
You still, I really don't know. But listen, go ahead. Well,
anyway,
what's your comment for Andre?
Excuse me, I had something to say to your esteemed guest.
Right, but you're not gonna call in and try to take over. Let's be clear. Now, go ahead and give your comments, Andre.
Tom,
you're not the only host on the show. Please respect our guest caller, please. You've been disrespectful. Go ahead, Al.
Thank you, Rodney. But no, Andre, I did want to extend kudos to you and you and Jack and the House of Mizrahi on finishing the ball. You know, a lot of people may have had complaints this and that, which hey, I did too, as far as the heat goes. But, you know, it does take a lot to make sure you get to the finish line. So I just wanted to shout out and say, you know, kudos on that and, you know, actually getting it done. And just wanted to say hello to my boo-boo, London, and Rodney. I really enjoyed you yesterday. So.
Thank you. You too, brother. I had a good time over there.
Tom, welcome back to the scene.
Not the scene, Errol. Not the scene. The scene of the runway and a ball. The difference.
Oh, well, you know, the folks get that mixed up and misconstrued and stuff like that. So,
thanks, Harold. It's been a pleasure.
Andre?
Yeah.
To me again. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay. Hold on. They are sending me questions now. Okay. Apparently or allegedly, I'm going to say it like that because they say apparently. Allegedly, could you answer... Why was Larry, Father OKI, put out the house after the ball?
No, they put Larry out.
Hold on, guys.
He's trying to answer. Go ahead, Andre.
One, I have a lot of respect for Larry. I love Larry as a person. I love him as a leader in a lot of other things. So I refuse to sit here and get on the phone and say anything about Mizrahi business or whatever because that's how much respect I have for him. So I cannot answer that question.
Is he a Mizrahi or isn't he a Mizrahi?
The title was taken. I never put him out of the house or anything. So that's really up to Larry if he's a Mizrahi.
Okay. They're giving me these questions. That I didn't even know myself until I just heard that. I was like, wow.
Yeah, I'm shocked to hear that news. Wow, that's a shocker to me.
Not my Larry, Jill.
Not Larry.
Switchboard, if you have any callers, send them over to London. I'm having to reboot my computer over here. So where is Larry? Is he still in Atlanta, or is he back in the Midwest or Mid-South?
No, Larry's home. Larry's home.
Caller alert, 267-591, you're live on the air.
Hello? Caller, your live caller, go ahead with your comment.
I want to give a shout-out to the House of Resistance. They have a ball coming up September 21st.
Wait a second.
You have to
pay for advertisements. I'm shocked at how people try to sneak in like that. Caller, do you have a question for any of the hosts on the line at this time?
And no plug-in.
Yeah.
She just says, let's just listen, honey.
Go ahead, caller.
What do you think about Dawn becoming the overall godmother of existence?
I have, wait, I'm sorry. Who's that question to?
Dawn Ebony?
No. Kennedy LaCroix, ex-LaCroix.
Who's that question to, caller?
Kelly.
Kelly's no longer the host of the show.
Rodney?
No, we actually just based on that last week. I asked Tom, since Tom is actually a LaCroix, and he gave his input on that subject last week.
What right. was it?
Tom.
Switchboard, do we have any other callers on hold? I have no further comment on. We wish Dawn all the best, and we wish her well. And I'm certain that she will continue to reach new heights in her ballroom career. Let's move along.
As mother existence, and I thank you.
You know, this has been an interesting night. You know, Andre has been our special guest for the last few moments. We had Rico Chappelle on from the House of Chappelle talking about the infamous shoe and what's the latest to come out of New York Fashion Week. And we've had Harold to call in and try to attempt to read, as usual. And it just feels good to be back in the chair, you know, after such a long time away from the scene. It feels good to be back. I never thought I'd be back doing this again when I gave this show up. I never wanted to turn back and look back. But you never say never, because you really don't know where life will take you. But I think, you know, it's worth pointing out with people wondering who I am and where I came from. We embarked on this journey back, I believe it was in 2006, late 2006 when we began, or maybe it was 2007, when we began the ballroom radio show, the very first ballroom radio show. And quickly it took off. It was controversial. It was reading. It was the latest tea and gossip by Rhonda Jenkins. But it was also good information that you could use in your real life in a very practical way. And that was something that I, you know, prided myself on with the show, because we wanted it to be more than just a read fest and drama. Although it was a lot of that, it was a lot also of good information, and so we're very pleased with that. I want to remind everybody that the Gagaween Ball is coming up October 27th. Jasmine Couture hosting that function in D.C. $6,000 for open to all performance. Wait a minute, open to all legendary performance, I believe. And Rodney, what do you think about that category? I mean, who do you think? First of all, we know when we have these balls where there's a lot of money on the table, a lot of times people shy away and don't show up. Do you think that's going to happen here? Because Jasmine is known for giving out her coins. She's never had a problem in that area.
Six legendary teams with six legendary people. Maybe, you know, based on just human error, just basic human. A team might not show up, but she's trying to prepare herself to make sure everyone is there so everything goes off with a hitch. But, you know, sometimes, you know, things happen.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. As long as it has some AC in the building, I think everything will go well. Andre, do you have any idea who's going to be on your team just yet?
They're not allowed to do the teams like that, Tom.
Oh, they can't do the teams. Oh, I'm confused. Okay, wow.
The team's all secret.
Right. Stand by one moment. We have a caller coming in, a private caller. You're live with Blumenthal, and we have the icon, Andre Mizrahi.
Hello.
Good evening.
Hey, how many times are you going to fucking remind us that you had a radio show before?
Okay. Anything else?
She kind of sounds like the lady who could have made Kadon Shu.
Right. Very angry. You have a very angry sound to your voice. I wonder if you've thought about counseling, perhaps, or, you know, just talking to somebody, because that can eat you away. That anger can really build up over time. Okay, I'm sorry. That kind of threw me there. I wasn't expecting the shade to start so late. I was actually expecting that early in the show. So she's late. Andre, does it ever get old? Does it ever get old?
Do what ever get old?
The competing, the battling, the shade, the traveling, the ballroom.
Not if you basically on your game, because then you have, shade that comes up to date. So, no, don't get old.
Right. It's always new participants, always new shade, always new things, new adventures, new, you know.
Yeah, now if you're stuck into time, then I guess it can get old. But if you're not into stuck in time, it can never get old.
So you like the adventure of it all, the newness of, you know, what's going to be the latest
thing. If Dave said I don't like it, I wouldn't be around it. I would just stay home and watch a movie or something. But if Dave said I do like it, and I probably would be a part of it. So I guess it's some of each.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, Andre, Rodney, did you have more questions for Andre?
No questions. But while we're on the phone, I did attend, since Andre's on the phone, his Miss Rahid name will be coming up. I did attend a little mini ball on Friday in Philadelphia, First Fridays, the monthly ball for Alvernia Prestige in Philadelphia. And since it's a ballroom recap, I want to announce a few winners, if I may. The grand prize was Team Realness. And it was won by Mother Felicity Mizrahi and Father Kwasim Escada of Philadelphia. Also, Female Figure Performance was won by Mariah Mizrahi. And Bush Queen Performance was won by Marquise Prodigy. And they had the battle for the money, and the winner was Marquise Prodigy. Also, over to All Runway for Europeans was Peggy Existence and Brazil 007, Agaba Association, and they battled for the money, and the winner was Brazil. That's my ball recap. Thank you.
Okay.
Work, okay.
Big ups to the winner.
Congratulations.
And Kelly was outside. She didn't want to come in because she said there was only 25 people inside, and she did not want to waste her money. So I stood outside and talked with Kelly for a little while, and she was leaning on the U-Haul. I started to take a picture to say we're reminiscing back in the days when she was on the U-Haul.
How much was the ball to get in?
$20.
Oh, wow.
She gets to Philly and didn't want to go in. How fat ass should have went in.
To tell you the truth, I didn't either.
Oh, shit.
Word.
Because First Fridays used to be packed, even though we know it's normally hot as hell in there. It's still normally like a, you know, the monthly gathering for Philadelphia. But the people actually were, it was like a thin crowd this time. But Alvernia still, you know what I'm saying, he's making me believe it, making me know it. He's still giving out all his money, and no matter if it's 10 people there or 20 people there. So, you know, at least he's, you know, coming along on that. In that instance.
Big up to
Wow, he really gives back to the world, see. You'd rather not have a place.
Right, exactly.
Right.
Well, Andre, it's certainly been a pleasure having you back on to answer the questions about the ball, even though it's been
a
week
ago. I thought I was just coming up here to say congratulations, we're back on the radio. They might put me on the spot, bitch.
When they heard your voice, they automatically wanted to ask questions about the Candy World and now that I think about it, Candy World, why did you guys go with that name instead of Candy Land, like the first ball was Candy Land? Did you do that on purpose?
Yeah, we did it on purpose. Every year it's going to be Candy something.
Candy
Land, then it was Candy World, and the next few years, but we don't have a ball every year. We wait a good 3 to 5 years before we have another one, so.
Okay.
Your name is something else.
So the next one will be Candy something. Maybe Candy Tom.
Candy what?
Candy Tom.
Yeah.
Candy Bridge. Yeah.
All right, once again, let's give it up for Andre Mizrahi, the legendary icon, coming on the show, tackling some tough questions about the ball, what went right, what went wrong, and
Hold on, hold on 1 second, Andre, before you go.
Mm-hmm.
Got one more. What is your relationship at this point with Mother Jasmine Couture?
Ooh, me and Jasmine are friends. We don't touch each other. First of all, I will always have love for Jasmine, period. Jasmine is one of them that she's definitely my friend to the end. We don't speak to each other as much as we used to because she's busy and I'm busy, but we do speak, period.
I love her dearly. Is nothing's going to change with that. And I know it's the same way. And when we speak to each other, we can tell it's the same way. I don't think she's being phony. I don't think I'm being phony. And that's that.
All right.
Thank you for definitely answering all the questions openly, candidly, and honestly, brother.
Right.
Yep. Andre, we hope that you will call us back again. You know,
for
you're
sure,
always welcome
Tom,
here on.
Sure.
You're always welcome here on the show. Anytime there's controversy to be cleared, you always come on and tackle it head on. So we can appreciate someone who doesn't run away from the drama and conflama.
That's what's up. That's what's up. And if I have to say anything, I do appreciate all the houses that came full force for the Candy World Ball. The Chanels, the Balenciagas, the Revlon, and there was one more house that was neck to neck.
Blahniks.
The Blahniks, yes, the Blahniks. Those four houses was neck to neck, period. And the Garcons, and there's a lot of other houses that came through, and I thank every house for coming through, period. I appreciate
all right.
it. I love y'all for that, and I thank you.
Let's go back to the phone lines to take a call from 212-470 live on Tins or Chops. Go ahead.
Hello.
Good evening.
Hello.
Tom, well, hello to everybody on the cast. Tom, you are a tackle, and I just wanted to say congratulations on coming back to the radio show.
Well, thanks. Is this the legendary icon?
Tony.
Yes, Tony.
Yeah, I had to say something at the end of the show. You know, I had to listen when Kadon was on the case. You know, Mama Bear had to come in and, you know, take care of some shit, honey. But, you know, everybody's been to Fashion Week, girl. Everybody knows this and everybody knows that. There's a ball on September 29th, girl. All those girls who have so much to say, watch the throne and claim it. That's all you have to say to anybody and everybody. Andre, you know me and Andre speak down now after all these years of disliking one another. Hey, Andre.
Hey, Tony, what's up?
Nah, that is my guru friend now.
I'm going
to
put a plug in for November 10th as well.
What you say?
I'm going to put a plug in for November the 10th. What's in the name? Hey, New York City.
So listen, Watch the Throne, Tony, is labeled at that function?
Well, you have to ask Dante because he's the one that's giving the ball.
Oh,
but
you said bring it on September 29th. I thought you were talking about labels.
Honey, it's the category. I'm sure. I think that's what he added that category. As a matter of fact, see, Tom, you knew back to the ballroom scene, but we have to put you in like just the ballroom groups, honey. We got to let you just to know, like not the ballroom group, not the messy ones. Not the ones where the girls have nothing better to do with their time. We're talking like the ones like when the girls are going to have a ball and they let you know, and when they add a category where it's going to be.
Tony, let me tell you something. I don't even have the energy or the time to go read through all those flyers, especially if it's a function I'm not going to. So I wish them all the best.
Oh, you have to go to Watch the Throne, girl. No shade. I mean, that's even my house, and I'm going to pluck it right quick. I think everybody's going to be there for that. I really think everybody's going to be there for that.
It's no shade to Dante. I really hope that the ball is a success. I really do. I just personally will not be there. No shade or anything. I just have other plans already.
Wait, Tony, are you sponsoring one of the categories?
No, the Mother of New York is sponsoring one of the categories. So that's already been done.
Oh, okay. Work.
Yeah, that's
Tony, you're an icon, Tony. You've been around. You've seen it all, done it all, heard it all. What do you make of this whole controversy, if you will, or this allegation attacking Kadon? What do you make of all that?
Well, I will say this much. It's ballroom. And I think that, and my memory is usually pretty good, and I can get out some of my floppy disks on my old computer, which is my brain. And I think I can name every single person who's walked any kind of category where someone always has something to say. Hold on. It's simply ballroom. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it is what it is. You know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, like they did in the old days, nowadays the girls want to fight and make up allegations. But back in the day, and Andre can attest to this, and I think when Rodney came out, he can attest for this, is that what you did was that you met a bitch on the back of the runway and you made her know it. All that other bullshit is just that bullshit, okay? And if the girls need that kind of entertainment, then, girl, they still give out, they still have movies. I think they still have movies, right, y'all? Yeah, they got movies still. Get some other kind of entertainment in your life. Go to the library. Do something. But, girl, all that is cute the first time around. And like Don said, which I have to 100% agree, if you have an issue or a problem, do that issue and that problem at the ball. That's what makes it hot. You know what I'm saying? After that, girl, it does become to be a, like, sore-loser kind of situation. And that's not what this ball thing is all
personally,
about.
I personally like the whole, you know, call a bitch out kind of thing. I don't agree with the false allegations. But, you know, like you said, that's ballroom. It is what it is, and that's going to happen. But I like the whole, you know, when you do that, it kind of does kind of raise the level of competition. And when you go to the next function, you know, you're really on your A game for real if you're about it. You know what I'm saying? So I do like that part of it.
Yeah, I mean, I thought the whole thing was, I think the whole thing was just, it's just a bit funny. And then when you tell people, well, I'm just trying to get ratings, you know, girl, not on somebody else's back, though. You know what I'm saying? That's just not how you do something. But
listen, I agree.
We all are different human beings, and clearly as we all read through conversations, whether they're spelled right or the grammar's correct or whatever is going on, you know, the bottom line of the matter is we get to see who the real persons are, you know what I'm saying, in every single aspect.
Tony,
and
here's something
I'll deal with that later.
I want to ask you this, because you were around back when the days of Walk For Me Wednesdays. You know, Walk For Me Wednesdays really changed the whole dynamic of ballroom.
Right.
It did. It changed ballroom in a whole different way, you know, with the whole message board thing. And you had the legendary character on the message board that used to read the girls for shade for days. But compare that with now and the whole radio phenomenon, and now we got Facebook. I mean, it's like in the last 5-6 years, it has changed light years, totally different from back in our day of Walk For Me Wednesdays, and we transitioned into radio and to Facebook. And you had the whole T-Mobile Sidekick era as well. How do you compare that, and how do you see the change?
Well, I think what it does is that these things begin to, when in the beginning, everything is like new. So you begin to kind of take everything at face value in the beginning. You know, but then after a while, when you also begin to, begin to evolve, you begin to see the difference between bullshit and what's real and what's bullshit and just things of that nature. So my basic thing I would just say is that everybody is going to eventually see or become bored with it. And that's when something else will come. And that's when something else will come. And something else will come. And something else will come. It's going to always be something new because technology is what it is. It's new. You know what I'm saying? You can't sit here and tell me that everybody believes everything that they see or hear or read on Facebook. Some girls are just the type of people who be like, you know what, I'm not even getting myself involved in that because I have better things to do in my life, or I do have a life. And for those who either they're off from work that day or, you know, there are no calls or whatever the case may be, then, you know, they get entertained in that way, and that's fine. But you as
so
an
you
intelligent
think
human
the whole radio phenomenon.
Wait. Go ahead.
I apologize for interrupting. Let me let you finish your thought. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, but all intelligent human beings know when to wave their hand and when to, you know, keep things going. So that's all I was going to say to the end of that.
I have my earpiece in, so sometimes I can't hear when you're still
going
or if you stop. So it's okay. So the question I was going to ask, you see the radio phenomenon fading at some point, like Walk For Me did, or like, you know, some of the other message boards and Sidekicks and all that kind of stuff?
Oh, absolutely. It went from Monday to Friday to Monday to Wednesday to just Mondays. I mean, of course, nobody wants to do that all damn day long. Who has that kind of time? You know what I'm saying? And then it's free. You know what I'm saying? People have better things to do. People have job opportunities coming. People have promotions at work. Andre's opening up a store. You know, Rodney's managing. I mean, come on. Let's be realistic. When you have those things come first in life. Now, if you start getting paid for this, hell yeah, make it your life. But if it's not, look, get real.
I could actually see the radio transitioning to, like, YouTube, for instance, like a real sit-down talk show
with an audience, with a ballroom audience, and
it
doing something like
the right person.
Right, on a weekly type basis, a host actually hosting a real live, not live, but a real talk show that's taped or filmed and uploaded to YouTube. I think that should be the next move for ballroom. I think that would be absolutely fascinating.
I said that as well, something similar to that nature.
Yeah, I would love to see that. And I'm not talking about your stereotypical flamed out queen either, because I don't want to see that. Sick of that.
Yeah, but here's the thing. The stereotypical flamed out queen is what's going to bring people to the audience regardless. I mean, you speak extremely well. And, yes, if it was an interview type of setting, granted, I would clearly say, yes, Tom, he has the intelligence, he has the je ne sais quoi, put it that way. But as far as ratings, oh, you're going to need a Kelly. A bitch like a Kelly, you're going to need a bitch like a Kelly. Because that's going to keep the key. Even if you look at, what's her name, the big one that looks like a man, that's on TV.
Wendy Williams,
yeah, her. When she was on, I was around when she was on the radio. She was off the fucking chain. But she knew to come on TV and to get certain people on your show and to get people that people want to hear and see. She had to tone that shit down.
Right, yeah.
So there needs to be a balance. There has to be a balance. And right now we haven't had the balance. No one has brings balance. Either everybody wants to be extremely PC or another person wants to be extremely outrageous. There is no middle ground just yet. When you find when a bitch can come in with the middle ground, that's going to be the one that you have to be like, okay, girl, we're going to just wave our hand and say, girl, you got this, whoever that may be.
I agree. I agree 100%.
Just keep it honest.
All right, so what's on your agenda, Tony? What's happening with you coming up? Anything?
Well, what's happening with me? Well, me, definitely,
yeah,
one thing is staying out of trouble. That's definitely, that should be everybody's thing. working and just doing me, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I love the ballroom scene, but I don't love it like that, you know what I'm saying? And I can never blame the ballroom scene for anything. I think it's the ego thing that gets a lot of us in trouble, trying to keep up with the Joneses. But right now it's just about, you know, building up relationships with those who are my friends, building up relationships with those who we could have been friends years ago and just didn't make it, and, you know, just making steady and definitely always protecting this house, because like I tell my house members and like I tell the world, my very first thing is to always keep the dream going that my sisters had put forth, and that was Roger and Terry, and those are the ones who I have my allegiance to. That's first for me when it comes to ballroom. Anything else is that's personal, and only the closest to me or in my circle will be near and dear to me.
Mm-hmm. Now, Tony, of course, I have not talked to you in quite a long time, so I don't know if you've given an interview since, you know, all the things that have happened in your life happened. Since I departed from the scene, and, you know, we're at this point right now. Have you ever talked about any of that stuff, and is that off limits at this time?
Well, it's not the point that it's off limits. It's the point that now what you do is you use it as a teaching tool. You don't use it as a tool of, oh, girl, I've been through that, and oh, girl, this. No. Or blaming the next person. I've never been that kind of person. I don't blame anything for anything or anyone for anything.
Right.
My whole point
now
is that
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. I mean, it's just now you use that as a teaching example, because you can always say, I've been down that road. I don't want you to go down that road.
Right.
This was the mistakes that I make. I think anybody who's going through anything, whether good, bad, or indifferent, you should share with the younger generation and try to keep them out of that realm. And I think that it's working, even though a lot of people sit there and yell and scream that it's not, but it actually, to me, it is. There are less people now going down that road than there was before. You know, before me, there were a lot, and thank God, after me, there aren't many. You know what I'm saying? At least I haven't heard, and I used to keep my ear to the street, and I haven't heard a lot about that going on now, and I'm 100% happy about
Have you talked about some of the troubles that you dealt with around that whole issue in an interview type setting? Because the reason I'm asking that, I don't want to go back down a road that you've already covered with another radio show or host before.
Well, I don't think that. I think that I'm the type of person where if it comes up, it comes up. If it doesn't, it doesn't.
you know, but I'm
okay,
going to make
well,
sure that
let's
how I answer it is going to be on how I can help someone else. Now,
right.
What I did and where did I get this from and how did I get that's irrelevant. You know what I'm saying? Those are
well,
not.
Well,
I'm
not
going to
go into all that. Yeah, I'm not going to go into all that. But I do want to touch on it briefly because, I mean, obviously you're a very intelligent person. You attended Morehouse College, unfortunately. So you're not.
Wait. I attended Morehouse College, yes, and I don't know where the unfortunate part comes from because even if a bitch goes to a community college, we should give them some kind of accolade. At this day and age, a lot of people aren't going to school.
I said unfortunately because it's HBCU love, as you know. I'm an HBCU alum as well, and I have a lot of love for Morehouse. Of course, I would have never chosen a school like Morehouse, and that's why I said unfortunately, but no shade. And that's what I do to all my Morehouse friends. But anyway, back to my point. You attended Morehouse. You're very intelligent. You know, you have done some big things in life and so forth professionally, but you got caught up like a lot of us do because it can happen to anybody. Let's not get it confused. It can
right.
happen to any of us. It's just a matter of the choices we make. And sometimes it doesn't even have to be the choice you make. You can just be in the wrong place at the wrong time with the wrong person, and you can get caught up. So looking back on the mistake that you made and having to, you know, take a fall, so to speak, and now you're back trying to climb your way back up to get back into your place in life. I mean, what was the process like for you? How difficult has it been trying to reclaim everything you've lost?
Well, I will put it this way. One, I don't blame anybody for anything. Anybody who blames somebody else is because they're just looking for an excuse. So I don't blame anything because when you're an intelligent person, you make choices. Sometimes you make wise choices, you might make wrong choices.Ometimes you make choices that just gets it. Listen, it's all your choice. No one puts a gun to your head about anything, whether it's craft, whether it's drugs, whether it's whatever. No one puts a gun to your head. So that's your choice. So that's number one. Number two, I've been blessed all my life have had. You know what I'm saying? I just was wanting to be greedy. I wanted it faster. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And I have really actually lost nothing. I still own my apartment. I'm still in the same apartment. You know, and anybody who knows me personally can attest to that. They've been over. You know, I think that now what it is that we all need that. And I think, I'm going to be honest with you, and I'm sure many people have not said this, but I will be able to say this. Oh, baby, I needed that. I needed that. Thank God it just wasn't as long as people may have thought it was, and that's irrelevant to what they may have think. I know what I had to go through. So I needed that. And now you couldn't pay me to do anything that I've done before. You couldn't.
That,
girl,
that,
no,
that
ma'am, I've seen
that. That puts you in a better place in life right now is kind of what I meant.
Right, exactly. It should do that for everybody. For those who go back again, girl, more power to you, girl.
But
you can call me. I'll accept your calls, but that's it.
This is what I find fascinating about the whole ballroom lifestyle and the criminality of it. I mean, how do you convince the younger generation in the ballroom not to get involved with that kind of activity? Because some people really don't get the severity of the situation and how much damage you can do to your life by getting involved in that kind of stuff. That's what I found in dealing with certain people and talking to people. And, I mean, you really can't convince people, in my experience, you can't convince people not to do wrong because they're going to do what they want to do. So is it a futile effort, or do you actually try to say, look, don't do that?
Let me tell you something. Nothing in life is futile. My whole point is that even if you reach one person, you've done your job. It's not to say that you should stop. It just says that you've done a great thing. The problem is that people have this misconception that ballroom is not real life. That's impossible. Ballroom is exactly real life. It's tangible. You can touch, you can see it, you can feel it, you can taste it, and you have a love and a hate for it. So to me, those are all real feelings, so hence the fact that this is real. It's what you do with it. It's what you learn from your mistakes. It's what you learn from your conquerors. It all is real. I will speak to 1,000 people. If only one person on that 1,000 gets it, guess what? I will go to the next 1,000. And as I keep going on and on and on speaking, whether it's speaking on a positive note in that aspect of it,
eventually, if I speak 1,000 times, I may have not gotten through to 10,000 people, but I got through to 1,000 people. And that's 1,000 people who's also helping another group of people and another group. It's like that old commercial with Prell. You tell one friend and I tell one friend and so on and so on and so on. If a person doesn't believe me and wants to go through it, all I can do is pray for them that they only get a short amount of time, because there's some girls who are sitting there at 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years. You know, if that's the kind of life you want to live, I am not here to judge you. I will still speak to you. I will still be a friend, friendly towards you. If you're a friend of mine, I will still be your friend. But I will always still sit there and tell you, listen, girl, I'm telling you. And that's all I can say. Listen, girl, I'm telling you.
Yeah, I think it's good to do that without the judgmental aspect of it. I think that's where we go wrong a lot of times, is judging each other, you know. And when you're trying to get across to somebody the wrongness of their behavior, I don't think they get it when there's a judgment attached to it.
Well, the whole point of matter is that none of us can judge. None of us are perfect. Last I checked, unless there's a new book that came out, there was only one entity on this earth that was perfect. And other than that, no one else has ever come even close. So therefore, who cares what another person judges you? I have no time to sit around and judge you for your bad and or your good. Whatever you do is what you do. My point is, like I tell leaders and potential leaders and even good friends, a person wants to know they have somebody that they can talk to and never hear it again. Even if you have an argument with that person, really bitter argument, you never hear it again. That's one of the good things, and I have to say this to Andre, and I hope that even if he's not on the phone, I think I'm going to tell him to his face. I've known Andre for 27 years, and I can honestly say this. He has gone through a lot with a lot of people. I've never heard him speak on somebody's personal private business. And no matter what you may think about me, I do not read the girls on any personal issues. I read what's obvious. I just simply read what's obvious. You know what I'm saying? That's okay. But you should never, ever, ever, when someone has trusted you with certain pertinent information, I wouldn't give a fuck. You do not sit there and just expound upon that with them. You always keep it real with a person regardless. People respect you more if you can keep it real, as opposed to you sitting there just trying to just dog them at every chance you get, like you're better than
right.
them. That's crazy.
Right. All right, well, ladies and gentlemen, we are talking to the legendary icon Tony Milan on Tins of Chops Radio with Tom Blumenthal. We have also on the phone Rodney Prodigy and London. Rhonda Jenkins had to slip away. She had a client to come over, so we had to let her go. Tony, we want to thank you so much for calling in. I really appreciate the warm welcome back to the airways for me. And it's really been a pleasure
definitely.
Talking to you. Yeah, it's been a pleasure.
Definitely.
You know, I've seen you pop up on a few people's Facebook pages, but, you know, I don't really speak to folks on Facebook because my page is not, you know, one of those kind of pages ballroom related, so I kind of just keep moving when I see folks. But I always see people and go, oh, wow, I haven't seen him in a long time. I hope he's doing okay. And, you know, you're one of those people I saw recently and thought, oh, I hope he's doing okay. I haven't seen him in a while. So it's good to hear your voice and hear that you are doing well. And I wish you nothing but the best.
It was great to hear your voice. I knew you were coming back, but I didn't want to say anything until officially that you had came, because I wanted that secret to be, you know, well kept. And I definitely am happy to hear from you. I hope that one day you and Kelly can co-host. There go that word co again, but I hope you and Kelly can co-host. And therefore, we can, old y'all, you know, like, go at it right quick, but then at the end of it, say, I love you, like a hug, like a virtual hug. You know what I'm saying? Many of us don't do here. We don't do a virtual hug,
mm-hmm.
And we need that.
I appreciate that. I really do, and thank you so much again. Thanks for calling.
Thank
everyone.
You, and I will talk to everyone later. I love you, Rodney.
All right, mother.
Everyone,
love you, too.
Y'all enjoy yourselves and continue having a great show.
All right.
Great, thank you. Everyone, that was the legendary icon, Tony Milan, Face Villa.
Okay, Tom, I have a quick reference point from some of my fans and some of London's fans.
Okay,
yeah.
Sure.
Hold on, London. I got this one. The show is an individual cast with all different personalities, and we all bring light and fun and flair to the show. So when you are bringing someone on or talking, it's not you're on the phone or you're on the air with Tom and whoever the guest is. You're on the phone with Rodney. Don't need a name, don't need a last name or anything, Rodney. They know who I am. You're on the phone with London and Tom and Rhonda. Everybody brings a different aspect to the host, the show, and we would like for you to address us as such, inclusive of Tender Chops. Not
let me just
kids. This is Tender Chops right now. And we help make it the number one show in ballroom history. We would like to be addressed as such. This is not for an argument. It's just insightfulness from our listeners and our callers that just buzzed my phone and told me to address the issue. And I did.
Okay.
And I thank you.
I'd like to briefly just respond to that. And first of all, to the caller or whoever raised that, let me just apologize because it was not an intentional effort to leave anyone out. So I do apologize if that's how it came across. The reason why I did that is because it just kind of helps speed up the process a little bit. Whereas if I say you're on live with Tom, you know, Rodney, Rhonda, and London, that just takes a few seconds longer. So that's
but how about the cast of Tender Chops? So just not include yourself. The cast of Tender Chops is just as long as Tom Blumenthal.
Well, I'll tell you what, how about, and this is really something that we should discuss off the air, but we can talk about it now since we brought it up.
No, we're here for the people. Give them what they want, Tom.
Rodney, first of all, you're not going to badger me, okay?
I'm not
agreeing with you. Yes, you are, sweetie. I'm agreeing with you. Now, what I will do in the future is when I bring someone on, I'll happily say you're on live with the cast. And that flows just as easy as your own live with Tom. I have no
problem. Well, thank
with that
you, either. Tom. And I thank you in my Rhonda voice.
And I thank you. And it's
in the line for the bathroom.
Yes.
Hi, Tom. How are you doing?
Hi. Who's this?
This is another one of our esteemed colleagues. This is Alexa Snow. She gives you the gossip. She gives you the tea that no one wants to say, including you, because you won't get it first. She gets it first.
What's the tea? How you doing, sweetie?
Hey, Tom. How you doing? Welcome back.
Thank you. I'm wonderful. What's going on?
Nothing.
Hi, Alexa.
I
have to call it a night, but tune into tomorrow's show, London's Tea Party Cast. We're going to have a lovely night. But I thank you so much, Tom and Rhonda and Rodney. You know, I enjoyed it.
Hey,
yeah.
London, before you go, you don't feel neglected, do you?
Wait, hold on. Wait, London, don't you leave just yet. Rhonda had to leave. Did she have a client, or did she have to go get liquor and stuff for the after hours?
No, Rhonda had a client. I don't know what you mean by after hours. She works at home.
Oh, okay. Anyway.
Tom, I don't feel out of place at all. This is my home, and no one can take it from me.
Oh, no, I think
you love it.
I was asking if you felt neglected, not out of place, because Rodney tried to give it like I was isolating
neglected?
You.
Neglected? Oh, no.
No, I didn't feel that way. The callers felt that way, that me and Rhonda was just in the background, just huddling up in the corner, waiting for you to direct us to speak, and that is definitely not the case when it comes to either one of us. But I was just putting it out there.
Yes, Tom, I was like, well, hold on, because I got paused. And I was like, what's going on? So everybody was, when I called and listened, it was like, you're on the show live with Tom. And I was like, well, where's Rodney? Where's everybody else? So I thought it had become a one-person show all of a sudden.
That was impossible because they were still here the whole time.
No, well, I only heard you talking. And then when the caller called in, it was like, you're live on the air with Tom. I was like,
That
anyway.
Ruffles you, huh?
Yeah. Carry on.
Oh, wow. Okay. I didn't know I could ruffle folks like that. We got a caller. Rodney, do you want to bring the caller on? They are from 404-692. Would you like to introduce them?
No, I like it. What's the number again?
404-692.
I don't know that number. No, go ahead.
Okay, caller, you're live on the air with the cast. Go ahead. Okay. Press 1 again, caller. We'll get you back on the phone, okay? A caller from 404-692. You're with the cast of Tins or Chops. We must have lost them. So London has had to say goodnight. Rodney, I guess we'll go ahead and wrap it up unless you have some other things you want to address. Do you feel like you need to get off your chest tonight?
No, nothing to get off my chest. I do have an inquiry. People are trying to find out if Stephanie has actually decided to be a Blahnik or is she still a bubble of that?
Wow, okay. I don't know, that's a good question. The 404-692 caller is back. I think it's Jason. Go ahead, caller. Okay, maybe they just lost the phone line again. Okay. Ronnie, that's a good question. I don't know. Maybe they'll talk about that on that other show next week.
Right.
Yeah. So, listen, we're going to get ready to wrap up because we have to go to work. Some of us have to work.
Yes, we do.
Hello, hello, am I here?
Oh,
is that Jason back?
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes, Jason, we hear you.
This new flow, is this the flow from, I mean, because it's like I'm listening to The View or The Talk.
Is that to your displeasure, Jason? Is that to your displeasure? Is that to your displeasure?
No, I'm kind of on the fence because I have people hitting me up in my inbox, so I'm kind of on the fence because in some degrees he gives me what I want because I was gagging at a little bit of the things that he did because his mouth is a little spicy and I kind of like that. But then it just went from that to the state of emergency, and I'm just trying to figure out. Because Tuesday Nights is like the Colbert Show where we basically make fun of everything that's talked about on Monday night. So I have a lot of material for tomorrow night. So I do thank you and I appreciate tonight because you've given me a lot to work with tomorrow because there's a lot that should have been said tonight that wasn't said, but we'll say it tomorrow. So please tune in. I love you all for loving me. If you were going to end your show, you can go ahead. Alexis, you looked gorgeous at Fashion Week.
Thank you.
You're so welcome. Good night, everyone.
Good night, Jason.
I'm just at a loss as to what exactly Jason was trying to convey there. I mean, what was Jason expecting? Did he want spice for the entire show? I mean, I just, that's not what I do.
No, I wanted to address him on that and say, well, Tom is going to give you the whole package in one setting. He's going to give you Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday all in one show. And people, I guess, were used to just it being messy, straight to the point, all ballroom shade, knowledge, and stuff like that
right. On
Monday. So that's what they were used to. So that's what I tried to interject. But I will go to bat for you, Tom, that you definitely will give all three elements, but your convictions are to something that you go with, and then when it's something that doesn't bother you or you don't care about, you kind of ramble over it and move on. I did notice that as well.
I don't even think Jason was probably around when you first started the show, and it was really, it was like Rodney said, you're across the board. You can be
right. Shaggy
at times. You can be very blunt at times. Because I was listening, and it was some things I was like, yes, Tom, you better get in and say, you know, because it was a few things that I had questions about, but you actually got to it. So, I mean, it's a new thing to some people, and it's, you know, it's an old thing to the rest of us.
Right. Well, I just want to say, first of all, I'm not the permanent host on Monday, so maybe Jason will be happy to hear this. I'm here at the pleasure of Jasmine. She's asked me to return, and I've, you know, said yes, I would come back with Rhonda. And if Jasmine decides next week she wants to move in a different direction, it's cool with me. I'm okay with that.
Right.
So, you know, if you're expecting buffoonery from me for 3 hours, you're not going to get that out of me. So maybe I'm not the host that you were hoping for. And if that's the case, express that to Jasmine. So she will know if she needs to book somebody else to host the show and we'll just call it a night. You know what I'm saying? It's just that simple for me. But
and this weekend itself, actually, it wasn't much ballroom like
exactly
mess going on to really
I mean,
talk about.
We're talking about a ball from a week ago still. So obviously that should clue people in that there really
right.
wasn't much to
exactly.
talk about tonight. This was kind of my reintroduction to how this whole thing flows because I haven't done it in so long. So, again, if Jason or whoever at home was expecting buffoonery, they're certainly not going to get that from me. So, in case you were wondering, then you got your answer. We have a private caller on the phone as we begin to get ready to wrap the show up. Private caller, you're on with the cast. Please go ahead, caller.
I'm holding in here for time. And I wanted them to know that I'm overall stepmama fella, and I'm sending out a shot to the house of
fellas. What's
going on, mother fella? He's a woman, and I need some help for him, and I don't know what to do.
Well, you definitely have one of the more convincing voices I've heard on this program in quite some time.
Yeah, well, thank you, Tom, and... Yeah, you know, I enjoyed your questions and stuff, but yeah, you know, you need to start reminding the kids so much that you found the show. Mix it up a little bit.
We need to know our history before we know where we can go.
With Tom, not continuously in one setting.
Right. Okay, I promise to never bring that up again. I promise never to ever bring that up again.
And what we know will be happening once the balls are actually taking place, most likely I'll be at the balls, and Tom will be feeding me the questions. So we'll definitely give you guys a show about the balls because Tom will definitely get in depth with it, and I will be open and honest with my answers from this day forward. I just want to let you guys know.
I think in the weeks to come, the people
yeah.
who listen to the show will come to appreciate me being here. Because one thing about me, I'm not going to sugarcoat anything. I'm going to tell you
yeah.
how I feel.
Yeah,
I don't care who it is.
Yeah.
You know, I can't tell you how many times I've been threatened because I've told it like I see it and how I feel about it. You know, so you can rest assured I'm going to give it to you like only I can. And that's just kind of how I can put it. I want to remind you guys, tomorrow is London's Tea Party with London and Cast. Wednesday night, you have State of Emergency with Jasmine Couture and her panel of esteemed guests. And then we'll do all this once again next Monday with a weekend recap of all the things, all the drama and conflama from the weekend. Any ball that has gone down without AC will have a report. And as you just heard Rodney Prodigy say, he will be there. Rodney, I'm so looking forward to Detroit. Are you ready?
Oh, yes, most definitely. It's definitely a good idea. God is definitely will make sure that we all taken care of and in good hands out there in Detroit. Definitely have our players card.
Yeah, you know,
let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Are you aware that Rodney has been deemed icon?
I am, yeah. I've referenced him.
He said that. Okay, I didn't hear it. Sorry.
Well, you know, I'm not big on titles or reminding people of such because Rodney is fine for me.
Okay, no, it just came to my inbox and I just.
Oh no, he knows already because we spoke about when he said Legendary Electric. I assured him and advised him on how I feel about people giving titles to themselves and keep saying it over and over. You know.
Okay, Rodney. Okay, right. You know, speaking of Detroit, Goddess, I have to give props to Goddess first of all because that is my home. My number one homie, and Goddess is one of the main reasons why I still travel to Detroit to this day. And Rodney, you can attest to this. Anytime I go to Detroit, Goddess takes care of you like no other ball promoter I've ever dealt with. The man opens up his home, the mansion. First of all, I have to call it a mansion. He opens up his mansion, allows me to come and stay with him when I come out there. He's just a wonderful host. And that's a person I really consider a good friend of mine. And I wouldn't go to Detroit for many reasons, but he is definitely one of the reasons I would go to Detroit. And actually, Detroit is one of my favorite ballroom cities. Because, you know, when you go out there, there's not going to be drama if you're with Goddess, because Goddess takes care of it all. So
true.
I'm cool. I'm looking forward
to silence the crowd.
Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to to go out there. And let me see. Somebody's just sending me an email. Let me just look at this real quick.
Has Marco Ball been canceled?
No. That was never on my radar. I don't know. Marco's having a ball. Which Marco?
Same day. Yeah.
It's the same day, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Stolen Mike's Marco?
Rags to Riches. Yeah, Marco.
Oh, shit.
Oh, no, yeah. I don't that's not even on my radar as far as functions go. Chicago is such a long trip. If I'm going to Chicago, it's got to be, Neiman Marcus or somebody like that. That's the only way I'm going out there. So you got to know, Ronnie, am I right? You have to know who to deal with when you go to these functions. And some names just stand out and some names send red flags. ladies and gentlemen, I've just been informed that the show is about to come to a close, so I want to go ahead and send out our final good nights. And Ronnie, any words you want to share, or Alexis, any words you want to share with the audience as we begin to close?
No, just basically the views, the thoughts, the comments that are made from myself are only from Rodney Father Cocktail.
Hey, Rodney, real quick, what did you think about our debut back on the show tonight? Tell the truth.
I did like it. At times I was like, is it going to, but like I said, it wasn't any balls. That was this weekend, actually. So it wasn't anything to, like, really, really get into. So just to present you, represent you to the people and, us to be there by your side, I think that was a good thing. And we had some good, nice people to call in, icons and legends, overall parents and stuff like that. So that was pretty good, like the first show.
Yeah, and, it's just about we got to knock the dust off of this thing and get back into the groove of it. That's pretty much what the situation is. Alexis, what do you have for us as you close?
Don't believe everything you hear. And anytime somebody comes to you with tea, if they have true tea, they'll pump it instead of fish around for other things.
Work. I agree wholeheartedly. As we close, I want to remind you, October 27th, Jagoween, $6,000, open to all performance, legendary performance. Come get your pieces in Washington, D.C. And we're going to take you out with a special mix by the one and only, the legendary Mike Q, the one and only ballroom DJ. And first of all, thank you, Mike Q, for making my new intro as well as Rhonda's new intro. We really appreciate it. You did a wonderful job with it, and we really, really appreciate it. So this new mix is available by Mike Q, and you can find him on Facebook and Twitter, and download this or purchase it, however you choose. Switchboard, give us the beat, and we'll see you guys back here tomorrow, Tins or Chops Radio. Have a good night.
Mike Q.
Ciao.